about.
We got to put it in perspective.
Attention, radio listeners.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
What song title best describes you?
You know what? Honestly, the song that describes me best is the national anthem.
And then we break it down. This is where we break it down. Ooh.
This is where we break it down. Ah.
Where we do the whoa, break it down.
This is where we build it up now.
We build it up now.
We build it up now.
We build it up.
And then we stop.
The man who'd make his living playing that song is lower down than a snake's belly. Good people should protest to the Federal Communications Commission against issuing a license to any station which would play such trash. There may be some idiot who thinks this will make a better community, but decent people resent such.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Britney Spears, what about it?
Roll another one.
I like Bush.
Just like the other one.
It's bullshit, man.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't see or like where
I
this is going.
Need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You can kiss my black ass goodbye.
Roll.
Roll.
Roll another one.
Can I ask you a question that you can't answer?
Just like the other one.
Well said, Kevin.
This one seems to be about to end.
Rape
Kevin.
I don't have another cent. December did. Oh, yeah, I
can't have it. But the joint.
Give it up. What?
Just pass it around.
What about the butt?
But the bones are that joint, my friend.
You butt ain't made for that.
But just pass it.
Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, we're new.
Our feature presentation.
Now everybody gather round and listen if you would. When I tell you every person needs a way of feeling good. Every kitty needs a ball of string and every dog a stick.
But all you need is a bag of weed to really get a kick.
1, 2, 3,
oh! A bag of weed, everything is better with a bag of weed. No, you don't need nothing, you don't need speed, because everything is better with a bag of weed.
Well, at least we don't need meth and we don't need speed.
And that's good news.
I like it.
But
wrong one. I was going to play this again.
A bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. You can try and fight, but we're all agreed. Because everything is better with a bag of weed. Okay. I like that the Family Guy is keeping sea shanties alive. They may be the only show on network television that continues that tradition. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we are going to be taking your calls and playing the sounder for real in just a couple of minutes at 1-800-520-1067. Might be a great opportunity for people who have never called in. They've always wanted to, got some lines open. Or if you are new listening to the show and you've got some comments or some questions about how things work, you can give us a call, get on the air, get a prize. 1-800-520-1067 is the number.
Don't mistake that for actual concern for your concerns, though. I mean, call if you have concerns or questions.
Sure.
But there's not much we can do.
We're not really going to do anything.
Well,
look,
we're limited in our abilities. And it'll
be noted is what it'll be.
Yes, yeah. We're running right at the top of our abilities now. And that's pretty not acceptable.
Don't ask for more. So it could be worse, Kevin. You could be a Boston sports fan this morning and wake up to the Bruins being eliminated from the NHL playoffs.
I know, that's awesome.
To the Celtics losing their playoff game last night. And to the Red Sox losing in extra innings to the Angels. That could be the 1-2-3 punch of you as a Boston sports fan. So I know you're feeling a little bit down right now, but it could be worse.
Plus, I would live in Boston.
There's that, too. Right.
Boston's a great city.
Be bad in the winter, though, I think. Seems like.
Yeah.
In the
winter.
Annoying accent. Oh, yeah. Lakers.
You would not do well in Boston.
Lakers are 3-3 now.
Yeah. Mm.
Our friend seven. Andrew Siciliano said last night, he said, does a championship team, this is a good question to consider, Psycho Mike, does a championship team mail it in twice in 5 days?
I think from my feeling about this team is that if they think they can get away with it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've adopted the Kevin Amin strategy of doing the least possible amount to get by.
Exactly.
And a championship team did that last year. The Boston Celtics, all the way through the playoffs until they started playing the Lakers in the finals, got pushed around by the Atlanta Hawks. They took a 7-game series. They barely held on for their life all the way through the playoffs until they got to the finals, and then they ended up winning the championship. So I think, yes.
So is there some argument in it's a super long playoff run and you save something? You hold something back for when you really need it best against the best possible team?
Oh, no. I mean, I would much prefer that, and I think they could take the route of showing up every game in a better, different mind frame and blowing teams out. But I do think that a championship team is capable of being a championship team while struggling throughout the early parts of the playoffs. And like you said, mailing it in a couple times.
Well, right. This isn't really the early part.
Middle.
I mean, last night certainly wasn't an essential win, like obviously it was for the Rockets, but it's certainly you certainly don't want to play Game 7 if you don't have to.
Well, I agree.
I think you'd agree with that.
Yeah. Although it's here, so that's good.
Yeah,
it is. And I think the Lakers actually struggled early in the series, especially in Game 1, from having such a long layoff. So if they do end up winning on Sunday and go on to take on the Nuggets, it might help them that they've been out on the court playing.
Yeah, that's it. It's a plan. It's a plan. I like that. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Now.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Dollar Double Cheeseburgers are back at Burger King, so imagine how much food you can get with a $25 Crown Card. That's the prize you get for being on the air with Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew for this morning.
All right, let's start with Ray. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how you guys doing? What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Oh, I just wanted to call you. I know you've been talking about TV getting lame again, but... Yeah.
When most of our favorite shows, you know, go on hiatus for the summer, then a lot of times all you have is repeats.
Yeah, well, I'm working on True Blood, and season 2 is about 3 weeks away. We start June 14th.
Really?
Oh, I love that show.
That's great news.
Yeah, it's right around the corner, and it looks like the season's going to be better than last.
And Rescue Me's back, which I love.
Is it?
Yeah, that's back a couple of weeks ago.
Weeds is coming back.
Yep.
Yeah, they're doing a better job lately than they used to do. Kevin's right. You used to check out at the end of the fall or the spring season, and then you'd come back in the fall. Mm-hmm. And now there are some people making an effort, so it's nice.
All right, let's go to Brian. Hi, Brian. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hi, Brian.
I actually called you guys like 3 weeks ago and told you guys how I got away with being pulled over with a bag of weed, and I even had like a necklace around my neck. Cops told me some stuff.
Right.
No, I just had a different story of me getting pulled over with 6 people in a 5-seater car and going into a little industrial area, doing some donuts, and then going into the back and seeing a cop parked back there waiting for people to go over there.
Very nice. Did this happen since the last time you called us?
No, this happened even before that.
Oh,
a while
okay.
back.
All right.
You're just thinking back to your greatest hits behind the wheel, basically, is what it is.
Yeah, that's not what you want to do, is spin around and see a cop sitting there waiting for you.
Not really.
No. Not when I had like 5 pipes and somebody laying in the trunk of my car because we didn't have space.
I love that.
Oh, my God.
I love that. We tried to put lightning in the trunk of a car when we rented one in Vegas, and the person that was the manager at the time came out and physically stood in front of the car and said, take him out.
We ended up doing donuts with the guy in the trunk of the car, and then we get pulled over, and the guy in the trunk starts banging on the trunk.
Oh, yes.
Oh, doesn't he know better than that?
Yeah, and we actually calmed him down. I get pulled out of the car. Cop starts talking to me, and I was like, look, I was going to go back there. We're going to do donuts. We're not going to do anything illegal. And he was all like, so you guys didn't do donuts? We're like, no, not yet.
That was our plan, but you got involved.
Exactly. And he was like, all right.
Tempting fate, Brian.
Huh?
I said, what is your thing? Why do you like to push it to the edge like that? Why is it you try to get the authorities to come down on you?
He likes to party.
I wasn't trying to. I've had luck, and it's like, it's run low, kind of.
Yes, it's run low. It's got nothing to do with you. It's your luck.
Look, if you have six people in a five-seater and you have five pipes in the car and you're doing donuts, I'm not sure that's bad luck.
Property. Yeah, you're asking for it.
Might be just stupidity.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you for the
call. This bears mentioning with that call. You remember former Laker Corey Blunt?
Yeah.
He got pulled over with 11 pounds of weed yesterday, or in the last couple days, and they fought, the cops went home with a warrant because he had so much weed and found 19 more.
Wow.
So, really living up to his name of Corey Blunt.
Wow.
No kidding. He was forced to with that name, though. Let's try Dan on line five, Kevin, who wants to call and rub it in a little bit, although you're usually sad when the Ducks lose.
Yeah. Dan, hi.
Hi, how's it going? What it do?
Going well?
What it do?
How about you?
I was just calling to say go Red Wings, but the Ducks put up a valiant effort last night. So
they sure did. Yeah. They were down 3-1 and then fought their way back to a tie game before they ended up losing it 4-3. So I mean, it was hopeful.
Red Wings fan since I was six, and I'm more nervous than I expected going into the series. So.
Well, the Ducks played San Jose in the first round, and they weren't supposed to beat them either.
Yeah, but San Jose was overrated.
Well, they had the best record in the league. But,
I know, but I think we gotta watch them play down at clutch time.
If you're a longtime Red Wings fan, you're like a longtime Yankee fan. You have a franchise that pretty much fields all-star teams every year.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what everybody tells me, but I hate the Yankees. So,
of course you hate the Yankees. They're New York and you're Boston, of course. But I'm just saying,
Detroit.
Yeah, you're lucky to have a franchise like that that you can get behind, and they really, really put on a good show.
Absolutely, and I do like the Ducks. You know, since I lived on the West Coast, I really like the Ducks. But I got to stick with my boys, in Detroit.
And I like you, but I would like your Red Wings to lose. I don't want them to win.
I think they're taking it all the way.
I'm not a Red Wings fan.
I know that. That's why I called.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Well, congratulations.
You guys.
Thanks.
Very exciting. The next round in hockey is going to be great, too.
Oh, these hockey playoffs have been so unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let's do one more. Let's go to Rudy. Hi, Rudy. Hello, Rudy. Hi.
What it do, Neff Boo?
What it do?
Hey, I heard that Spencer Pratt say he's better than Jay-Z, and he's going to change the rap game.
Yeah, he says he's the white Jay-Z.
No. We need to have a rap-off between him and K-Fed.
A wrap-off between Spencer Pratt and K-Fed.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Done.
That's a good instant request. Bank that so we can...
Y'all need to make that happen.
All right. Okay. I don't know how we could make that happen, but we'll try. Thanks for the call.
I don't know who we know.
Get Ashton Kutcher on the phone now. Get him stat. All right.
Spencer Pratt, who loves Spencer Pratt, by the way, is giving out his phone number on Twitter for people to call him. And then he's taping the calls and putting them up online.
All right.
Of people calling and just showering him and Heidi with praise, just talking about how great they are.
They deserve it. I mean, every once in a while somebody comes along like that where they really accomplish something unique.
He must
can't say a bad word about him.
Right. He must be doing a lot of editing. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, sure. That's probably
true. I know I haven't been able to get through yet. We're not going to be posting that call.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
It is Friday morning, so we've got the movie beat. Ralph will tell you about all the new movies in the theaters.
It's Friday morning what?
You know... Why don't you handle the date from now on? Honestly, because when I forget, then you can't move on without it. So let's make that your job. And that way
Friday what?
Yeah.
It's Friday the 15th of May. I see them.
Show me boobs! There they are!
I hear we got the movie beat coming up on today's show.
I'm just saying, it's important to you, so maybe that should be on your shoulders. Okay, good. Adam Carolla will be here this week in Rage.
Yeah.
He's the funniest. Brian Posehn will be here. He, of course, is Brian, the character Brian, from the Sarah Silverman Show.
That's convenient.
Mm-hmm. And he does some stand-up we'll tell you about. Billy Joe Armstrong on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
All right.
How about that?
Lead singer of Green Day, and they have the new CD coming out today. Everybody else, most CDs come out on Tuesdays. I don't know why that just became the day that is new music, but theirs is coming out today, and I have it, and it's great. And
great.
Can't wait to talk to him about it. So we got that. We got Bruce Greenwood, who plays Captain Pike in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy that's in charge of the Enterprise before he turns it over to Spock.
Or Kirk.
Well, actually, Spock. You were
Spock.
Right.
Is it really Spock?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I haven't seen the
movie
yet.
Worked you.
He hasn't
I haven't seen the movie, but
But how about not correcting me then?
Well, it's understandable why I thought you were getting it wrong, because in the series, Captain Pike turns it over to Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only seen the series.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
You score, Kevin.
That was legitimate.
That was wrong is what that was.
Well, it was wrong, but the instinct that I have information that may be flawed is a good instinct. So I'll give you credit for that.
Yeah, you can't fault them now.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Well, you look at those Red Wings fans who have to hate New York because they're in Boston. I mean, that's the type of editing that I need to do on the fly on a regular basis.
So that's just the right call.
Assume that Pike gives it up to Kirk, like in the show. I haven't seen the movie yet. If they change that up, that's great, too.
Pike gives it up to Kirk in This Ain't Star Trek. It's very different. Very different. King of Mexico loves bacon vodka. He's never tried it, but he's very, very excited about it.
Yes, he is.
And that sounds terrible to me. And by the way, this afternoon at 5, we have Mike Tyson. So that's pretty cool.
Wow.
And more tickets for you to go to the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. This is going to be your last chance this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And your last day, of course, to get tickets for the Weenie Roast, which is tomorrow.
Woo-hoo.
So all that's coming up today. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz next.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show for a Friday morning. Bad Religion on the way. Also, Linkin Park, 3 Days Grace. And I'm not joking when I tell you, the Lemonheads next hour, ladies and gentlemen. The return of the Lemonheads.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nice. On the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Kerman. How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, good. What's going on?
Good. No, not much.
Yeah.
You know, I was running a little late today, so I was driving into the Kevin and Bean Show. And usually I listen to sports talk in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Just to catch up and hear what happened the night before, in case I had to go to bed early and I missed a score or something like that.
Right.
But I was flipping around and I accidentally landed on Mark and Brian.
Yeah.
First of all, to my surprise, I had no idea they were still in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I listened to some of their show. It's remarkable. Have you ever heard them?
It's good. It's been years. Not really.
One of them, I can never tell which one is which, called home to tell their wife that they're out of food and she needs to go to the supermarket. That was a segment.
That was on the air?
That was on the air.
Was there a much laughter?
Oh, yeah. They thought it was the funniest call they'd ever made.
Really?
And so I just was thinking, you know, when I come on the air, I wanted to tell our folks, it could be worse, people. It could be worse. As bad as we are, it could be worse.
Look, we know we fail on many, many occasions, but we try. We're not doing that.
Right. We're not literally phoning it in. Linda? Yeah, Linda. You need to get some food. We're out of food. There's no cereal in the cereal drawer. Linda? So it was that for 20 minutes.
Did they check their messages, too? And
But I hadn't heard them in, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah.
You do forget that they're on. They're
I really
not exactly
had.
High profile.
It's like, oh, yeah, these guys, I wonder what they're doing. You know, see, check out the competition while I have an opportunity.
Sure.
It was calling about get some food in the house.
Well, okay.
Yeah, that's what they chose to do.
All right.
So
well, that's a choice.
So rarely does Ralph come in with an upper, with a right. positive comment that makes us feel good.
I think
so
we
appreciate
feel a little better about ourselves today.
All right.
Because we're not calling home telling them we're out of food.
We'll do that on Monday.
Sure. write that down. We might want to steal that.
Today we're jammed, but Monday we're going to do that.
Yeah.
All right. 5:55. What's going on in the world of showbiz?
This website, thedirty.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is the website that broke the story of Miss California and her topless shots.
Right.
Oh, okay.
This should not happen in America.
No, it should not. They just won't let go of the story. They're like a dog with a bone. They have released new photos.
Yes.
More different ones?
Of Miss California USA Carrie Prejean being all slutty and boozing and partying in Vegas with none other than Michael Phelps. Who apparently gets around.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes,
and it's
he
not
does.
Just Vegas. It's shot to them in Michigan. It's shot to them partying here. And he's pulling down her jeans. And she has on his Speedos from the Olympics that say Phelps on the back of his on the ass.
Hmm.
So apparently there was some shenanigans going on between her and Olympian Michael Phelps. One of this is before or after his three-way with strippers in Vegas. But
Donald Trump thinks she's hot so she can keep her crown.
It's great. But I don't know what thedirty.com has against this girl, but they are just after her now.
Now it's just fun.
Well, it's just fun, yeah.
I think it's so rare that you can look at somebody and go, that is 100% a lie. Most of the time people are exaggerating or whatever, right?
How about you catch somebody
right.
just a bald-faced lie?
Yeah. So that's kind of fun.
It's not hurting her, though. She just got a new job. She will be guest hosting on the Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends morning show. She'll be filling in for regular host Gretchen Carlson, who was the 1989 Miss America. So apparently it's not hurting her, all this attention, all this publicity. It can only help her career, I can imagine. But I'm assuming there must be as much wind in that studio as there was on the day she shot those photos.
Well, she better be careful because those photographers have no morals.
So I'm hoping her shirt just blows wide open when she's on television and we get to see those new and improved cans.
Oh, especially right. on Fox. That yeah. That was fantastic.
Exactly.
She canceled her appearance on the Larry King Live show last night. She was supposed to be on, but apparently the report is she went out for a huge party in Atlanta the night before and then got up and like either missed her plane or decided she didn't want to fly to L.A. to do the show or something like that. So she stiffed poor Larry.
She's got the diva attitude already.
Wow, I like that.
She's terrific.
Larry's the biggest softballer in the group.
Yeah, she should have been eager to do that yeah. show. Mm-hmm. Megan Fox says her favorite person in the world?
Me.
Besides Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
Shia LaBeouf. She says, you cannot believe what a hard worker Shia LaBeouf is. It's amazing to work with him on the set of both Transformers. He has an amazing tolerance for pain, and he works so hard through the movie, despite the serious injury to his hand that required 3 operations and still isn't right. She said, he is a great guy, a guy's guy, and is a badass on Xbox.
Okay, all right.
Just playing video games with Megan Fox, just sitting in your trailer.
Yes. I can imagine
Every
that.
Night.
I can imagine that in great detail.
And I know that he's a great dude. We have a lot of respect for Shia, and I know he's a gentleman and all that. But how do you do a movie with Megan Fox and not at least have it cross your mind? I must hit that.
Oh, I'm
Even
sure
though we're
it crossed
coworkers,
his mind.
I must hit
crazy?
That.
It has crossed his
yeah.
mind.
Yeah.
For all we know, he's hit it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Katherine Heigl's character Izzy on Grey's Anatomy was killed off last night in the season finale.
Really?
She got married, then she died.
Yeah.
So
good.
This is
good honor.
This is the end of her saying she wants out.
I say, yeah. See what happens when you take on the writers?
Yeah.
You get brain cancer, Izzy. That's what happens to you.
Yeah, she was complaining that they didn't write her any good stuff.
Yeah, nothing
well, they
juicy
wrote her some
enough.
Really good stuff
there
this season.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go. Good luck in your future.
Good luck in 28 Dresses, the sequel. Depeche Mode singer Dave Gahan, still not feeling well.
Uh-oh. Mm.
He's got the gastroenteritis. He was taken to the hospital in Athens, Greece on Tuesday, just as the group was about to go on stage, and they had to cancel that show as well. They've canceled 5 more upcoming shows. David is having tests done. So the concerts in Istanbul, not Constantinople, Bucharest, Sofia, Belgrade, and Zagreb have all been put on hold during the European swing. So we'll have to wait, see how Dave feels. He feels better. He's got the gastroenteritis, so. Hoping that goes away
soon.
Today's celebrity birthday is Brian Eno, musical pioneer, is 61 years old today. Actor Chaz Palminteri is 57. Sam Trammell from True Blood is 38 years old today. Jamie Lynn Sigler, Meadow Soprano from The Sopranos, turns 28. And actor David Krumholtz from Numbers is 31. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday morning. Big, big show. Bruce Greenwood, he plays Captain Pike in Star Trek, America's number one film, coming up later this hour. Funny man Brian Posehn is going to be here. Billy Joel, apparently, is going to be on the program today, which I'm shocked about because I know that he comes to town from time to time with Elton John, but who knew we'd be talking to Billy Joel?
Not Billy Joel, it's Billy Joe.
Yeah.
Lead singer of Green Day.
All
very
different
guy. Yes.
Different guy.
Very.
All of that straight ahead. And, of course, today's your last day to win those tickets for the Weenie Roast, which is tomorrow. Right now, Kevin and Bean Afro Line on the air. Answering machine we set up just for you and your comments at 323-520-AFRO. What are people talking about today?
Well, the first call is about Lie to Me, which is a great TV show.
I love that.
About reading people's body language and how they give away, you know, what they're
facial expression,
what they really feel.
Yeah.
And there was a terrorist on there whose name was Omar Khan. And it turns out that we have an Omar Khan who works here with us.
Who's also a terrorist.
Omar Khan, the father of the second bomber.
Father of the second bomber.
Right?
Wow. Omar Khan hasn't given you one straight answer. I'm turning him over to the CIA, and they'll do what it takes to get him to talk.
Yes, they will.
I wish we could do that.
Okay, I will. Omar Khan, the time is out. The time is out.
DJ Omar Khan.
So we've been worried about. We keep
sure.
asking him, is today the time is now, or are we all right?
This is the terrorist, Omar Khan.
Think we need to produce that up?
A little bit.
This guy is very angry that we have too short of an attention span, and that we let something fall by the wayside that should have never been dropped.
Hey, guys, how is it that, like, a week has gone by, and nobody's talking about Miss Cleo's 8 pounds? Oh, 8 pounds of Miss Cleo. Hi, Lisa.
8 pounds of Miss Cleo has been added to the Weenie Roast, by the way.
I hear they're good.
For the record. We had a guy on, I don't know, they all start to mash together, yesterday or the day before, who was trying to convince us that he needs to start a Top Gun Day.
A couple of days ago.
Top Gun Day. That's what we need. And I used some music to play him off.
Dude, you guys totally Top Gun that guy. Oh, dude.
I like that he calls it totally Top Gun, though, because when we were doing the Thriller thing, Lightning, our ex-producer, was like, hey, you guys need to call it. You thrilled him. You really thrilled him. You're like, I think we'll be fine without that. Remember we had Steve-O in a couple of weeks ago talking about the documentary that was on MTV. This person just finished watching that.
Dude, I'm watching the Steve-O show right now. Holy How is that guy still alive?
Isn't that a good question?
I've known Steve-O for a long time. We've had him in here, I don't know, 12 times, something like that. Great guy. I was shocked when I saw it.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet. I TiVo'd. I haven't watched it. But what I've read about it is you've never seen anything like it captured on film before. I mean, this is the stuff that people go out of their way to make sure no one ever knows about them.
Right.
Yet he had the whole thing filmed at his very, very lowest points in his whole life.
It was unbelievable, and he's lucky to be alive today.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he just wouldn't stop for a second.
King of Mexico, who also works here with us, is very, very, very excited, which is odd, about bacon vodka, which to me sounds like two things that should never mix.
Yeah. Bacon-flavored vodka. I've been saying that my whole life, and I'll be saying that to the day I die. Bacon-flavored vodka. Oh, and
f***
me, the King of Mexico as well.
I hear you.
Here comes the gossip around. Is Mrs. Butterworth a slave woman?
Kevin was a little confused over which one was the old English lady and which one is the black lady who represents syrup.
All right, so I get confused every once in a while.
She scores. Had Mexican for dinner, now all backed up. Gonna put it from two girls, one cup.
Oh, no. Wow, no, please.
This should not happen in America.
I agree.
Hey, I think this syndication thing is gonna work out great. A couple of weeks of you geniuses on the air, and no one anywhere in the country will ever again think that people from LA are either shallow or retarded. That world's largest pecan conversation, that was some PhD material right there. You guys keep it up. Don't let anybody tell you guys otherwise.
Thank you for your support. We appreciate that very much.
That guy loves us and calls pretty much every day.
Mini sirloin burgers. Mini sirloin burgers.
Those mini sirloin burgers, and I'm not getting paid to say this, are awesome.
I've been hearing about those. Who makes them?
Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box, okay.
And they sell them in a thing like of three of them?
Mm-hmm.
Man, they're like crack. Probably not good. And a call from... maybe our favorite listener of all time, Dewan.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Dewan. I need to try to go to that event party tomorrow in London. So I need a ride to get there, and I need a ride back and forth to the party and back to my home. All right?
He needs a ride back and forth to the party and back home. He's talking about Omar.
Yeah, Omar DJs at the Shore Ultra Lounge every Friday night in Long Beach. And tonight, Omar will be DJing like usual, and then I'm going to go and perform some of the hits.
Oh, nice.
So that's the event Dewan was talking about.
And when you say you're going to go perform some of the hits, you mean you and Dewan are going to go perform some of the hits.
I have no problem bringing Dewan up on stage to do a duet of Hey There Vagina. I mean, I have no problems at all.
Can you pick him up and take him home?
Sure.
All right.
Sure, but you know how he wants to stay at the club till it closes, and then his bar tab's huge. Yeah,
right.
Why does Dewan think that we are his personal valet, though? That's what I don't understand. Whatever Dewan needs, he calls the Afroline and leaves a request.
I think it's flattering, but I also think that it's because Mike does a lot for him.
Yeah.
And he knows that, and so, you know.
He just asks.
By the way, you got those tables and chairs and stuff at the party?
We're going to
PlayStation 3.
I need, you know, the metric kilo of ice.
Yes.
And I need and two more Xboxes, according to Dewan. But besides that, I've got most of the stuff on the checklist.
By the way, the other thing Dewan wants to do is have Omar teach him how to spin tonight.
Oh, good.
Oh, wow.
I think he requested food as well.
Food, yes.
Yeah.
Kicks.
Anyway, food and drinks.
He needs some food.
And he needs to learn to spin. So that's all going to be happening at the Shore Lounge.
Shore Ultra Lounge in Long Beach.
In Long Beach. All right. So you can stop by there. 323-520-AFRO is the number 24 hours a day. I'm saying this is a scam, Bean, and you are the most scammable person on the planet, which is funny to me because you're super bright. You're really, really smart.
Yep.
What are you talking about, a scam? Because I'm going into the future? Somehow I'm being scammed? It seems to me the people who aren't going into the future with me are the people being scammed because you live once and die.
There's a website called The Time Travel Fund. And now with Star Trek, you know, especially that's the most recent, the biggest example besides Lost, you know, of time travel, being able to go back in time. Mm-hmm. So this website says, why don't you give us a dollar or $10 and we will invest it for you for 500 years or however long it takes. Obviously, time travel is not possible now.
Okay.
When it becomes possible, it'll be way too expensive. But then later, as they refine it, blah, 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 then it'll get to a point where it's affordable. So if you invest now, they're trying to tell you. So, you know, maybe they'll come back and get Bean right after he pays his $10 because they could come back from 1,000 years from now or 500 years from now.
Right.
Whenever they could come back to this moment.
By the way, Bean, you would still eventually die. It doesn't prevent you from dying.
How do you know?
Die at a different time.
How do you know?
That's true. If they've got time travel worked out, then who knows, they don't have a lot of other things worked out that enable you to live forever.
That's possible, but that's not what they're promising.
I mean, there are a lot of people who wish that they... Look, this is a great time. This may be the best time ever to be alive on Earth, and we're all very, very lucky to have the... All you have to do is watch the Tudors to realize how much it sucked to live a few hundred years ago. Or watch the John Adams miniseries to realize, thank God I was born when they had indoor plumbing. But... A lot of people also think, hey, they're going to solve so many of these medical problems that we have in the future. How much does it suck that you lose someone to cancer today when, for all you know, 100 years from now, there will be no cancer? I mean, the opportunity to go into the future and experience that would be fantastic. And it's only – I mean, they have a calculator on the website, Kevin, that you give them $5 today and they put it in a fund. And 500 years from now, it's worth $39 billion.
That's right. 500 years from now. Right.
$39 billion. So it's not like it costs me $39 billion to go to the future. It only costs me $5. I just put it in the fund today. I'm set.
Or you give them $5 and they spend it. Who's going to be around?
Monitoring them.
Who's going to be around in 500 years to go, hey, that guy Bean, he put this $5 in. It's time to go back and get him.
Well, I assume they've got paperwork. I assume they've got people who are keeping track of that.
They have paperwork with the Star Registry, too, Bean. It doesn't mean anything.
They had paperwork with Bernie Madoff.
Here's the way I look at it.
I saw some paperwork on this prince in Nigeria that has $37 million he needs to get out of the bank, but I just need to start an account and put some money in it, and then I'll get my money back plus.
Here's the way I look at it. If you were alive in, you know, 1910 and Henry Ford came to you and said, I've got a crazy idea. I figured out a way to mass produce the automobile. It's going to be big. Get in on it now. It'll only cost you a dollar. And you didn't do it because you thought he was just some crazy guy talking about things that'll never come to pass. Then you'd be left out. You'd have missed the automotive revolution. What I'm saying is this is an opportunity to get in and take advantage of people who are smarter than I am, who are going to figure this thing out, and they're going to bring me with.
Everyone, for the first time, is smarter than you are. Here's the difference between that. You know, Ford made the first automobile how many years after that? Two?
Well, yeah, it was something he had an idea of. He just needed some money to get it together, right?
Okay, so we don't have any idea how long it's going to take for time travel, even if they ever do figure it out.
But why don't you tell that to Sawyer and Jack, who are living in freaking 1974? Why don't you tell them that time travel is not possible?
That's a TV show.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Who is going to keep track of your money for 500 years? And by the way, you're not having kids. So
you have no offspring.
You'll have no connection in 500 years to that money. Even if it's, say, still in an account, you'll be so long gone, they'll go, should we go back and get Bean? Nah, you know what? I'd rather keep the $38 billion.
And he was kind of annoying.
Here's what it says on timetravelfund.com. This is a message to you haters, okay? Is this a joke, a scam, or cult is one of the questions it's asked. No, it is not. We are serious about this. If it were a scam, we would be asking for a lot more than $10. $10 is enough to put you in the fund, print and mail your certificate, and cover our costs of maintaining the database and website. We don't expect to get rich off this for at least 500 years. It's not a cult. Cults require you to do weird things like cut off body parts, give everything you own to the cult leader, worship flying saucers, and generally change your entire lifestyle. All we ask is for an open mind and $10. What if it's true? What if it works?
That's my question
to you.
Those people aren't going to be here in 500 years. They're taking the money and running. They have no guarantee.
Look, they couldn't put it on the internet if it weren't true, first of all, okay?
Lisa's right. No one connected to this story, this fund, your money, will be around in 100 years.
But they've got people. They have people. They have the time travel fund team that is closely monitoring.
And they live for 500 years?
No, but they pass it down. Look,
there's trustworthy people who can take care of all this money?
That's like saying, ooh, let's not elect George Washington because how do we know the government's going to be around? He's going to die, and then what happens? Well, they pass that knowledge down. They bring new people into the system that continue to do the good work of their forebears. That's right. What's going on here.
Right. And if this is going to grow into $38 billion, you think every person along the way is going to be honorable and do the right thing? Are you crazy? And the reason they only make it $5 or $10 is so they can scam more people.
Yeah,
it
doesn't mean, goes, well, that's not that
it doesn't
much.
Mean it's not a scam. It's just, well, what if it's only this much? So they're smart enough to make it a low amount of money. But
right.
You're dumb. And I don't say that often.
Hear my whole thing. 500 years from now, when I'm living on the sun and I've got like an awesome, you know, beach place or something like that, I'm going to look around. I'm going to go, too bad Kevin didn't get in on this. He would have had a lot of fun. He would have really enjoyed this. Too bad he's dead.
You're going to have a beach place on the sun?
Yes, I am.
How does that work?
Because a lot of things are going to change, man. You don't know.
But a beach place.
Yes.
There's going to be an actual ocean on the sun.
I'm just saying, we're talking pretty far in the future. That's all.
There's no amount of time in the future that'll make that ever happen.
You don't know,
man.
You don't know, man.
Listen. All right. Good luck with that.
I really do feel like I'm the only guy in America who hasn't seen the Star Trek movie yet.
Yeah.
Well, every once in a while, something comes. I mean, there are a lot of movies that come and go that are big, that are popular. Every once in a while, there's something that comes out that's a must-see that every single person you know is talking about. And this is the one. And I am pretty lame that I haven't seen it yet. But I'm going to try again this weekend. We are very excited. We had J.J. Abrams on the program yesterday. Very excited to have one of his fine actors from the movie on the phone with us right now. Bruce Greenwood. He is Captain Pike in the Star Trek film. Joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Bruce.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, great, man. You. Very exciting, this Star Trek, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's been fun so far. That's pretty good.
What you've done hundreds of interviews for this, I imagine, right?
That's probably pretty accurate.
What are the top three questions that you get?
Were you a Trekker / Trekkie?
Okay.
How did you get the job? And what's the deal with having to dress in big, huge football outfits with hoods tucked up to your chins and crawling to the set so you can't be seen?
Hey, what is the deal with that? Because that's crazy. I mean, I know there was a lot of interested stuff, but you've been working in Hollywood a long time. You never had to deal with something like this before, right?
I've never had to sign disclosure agreements the size of a phone book. And did the guys tell you about, did JJ tell you about what they had us do getting from the dressing rooms to the sets?
We had John Cho on, and he described it a little bit, but it's some kind of a robe, right?
Oh, it's a huge, huge robe that, you know, drags on the ground and pins around your face, so you're sort of looking out a tube, and you have to, and you put that on in your dressing room, and then you scuttle from your dressing room to a golf cart that's got these black sheets dangling from the roof, and they throw you in there like you're on your way to the executioner's dock, and you sort of rumble along to the set for 250 yards, and they park you in a big plastic garage, and they zip the garage shut, and they throw you on the set.
Then you have to knock on the door and give them a code word. And
all that, yeah.
What, is this just so that pictures wouldn't get out of the uniforms?
Yeah. Well, it's because, you know, there's so much interest so early on, and it was just so when people finally see the movie, they see it for the first time rather than having been peppered with
you
know, stolen shots.
John, who, of course, is Mr. Sulu in the film, he told us that although it was kind of a pain in the butt, he said ultimately he's glad that it had to happen because he felt like he got to know you guys a lot better and the cast spent a lot more time together than it would have if it would have been easy to run back to the trailer all the time.
Yeah, they actually they zipped us in a big transparent plastic bubble and pumped in air. It was kind of weird. John had his own bubble.
Are you sure that this is a? You were there, right? I mean, this sounds crazy.
It sounds crazy, but it's all true.
All right.
So you've played the President of the United States on TV and in the movies. So you must have some gravitas, Mr. Greenwood. But is it still kind of exciting to get to play a starship captain?
Oh, come on. You know, walking on the set on the bridge for the first time, it was just so great. You know, usually on a set, there's people festooned all over everything. You know, they're draped on this chair and that chair. And, you know, sure enough, the set of Enterprise was no different, but you walk on, except the captain's chair.
Yeah.
Empty.
Everybody wanted to sit there?
No, nobody would touch.
No one wanted to sit there.
No, that was the it was like there was a force field around it.
That's cool.
They should have put an electric charge through it so anybody that sat on it would get shocked.
Yeah.
No, maybe not. All right. You also worked.
I gather that one of you guys lives up in the San Juans.
Close in one of the other Seattle area islands. That's me, Bruce. Yeah. Why? Why do you ask?
Well, because I'm up there right now too.
Oh no, kidding! Hey,
I'm looking
come on
out
over.
The water, waiting for the whales to go by.
You guys could get. You guys could party. Let's get some pancakes after the show, Bruce.
I just heard on the radio yesterday. Not to get off topic here, but the pods are arriving every year. This is a very exciting time in the Puget Sound region because of the whales. I heard that there's something like 90 whales getting ready to pass through the San Juans here in the next few weeks.
Well, yeah, we're right on an avenue, so we see them quite frequently.
I don't know how to get back to Star Trek now.
Who cares?
I'm very confused.
Whatever with the Star
Tell
Trek.
Tell us about the other people in the cast. Chris Pine, for example.
Oh,
I thought he was miserable.
No, so grumpy. Not funny.
I thought he was great.
I did too.
In this role.
Yeah.
You know, John Cho's so right when he says we're really lucky to be able to hang out so much together because we became friends really quickly. Almost everybody on the cast is a musician, so we would sit around and play. And Pine and John are funny as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just such funny people, and we hung around and laughed for 3 months.
We have Bruce Greenwood on the phone. He is in Star Trek. He plays Captain Kirk, and we have a clip.
Pike.
And we have a clip of you trying to talk the young James Kirk into going to the Academy.
Enlist in Starfleet.
Enlist?
You guys must be way down in your recruiting quota for the month.
Well, if you're half the man your father was, Jim, Starfleet could use you. You understand what the Federation is, don't you? It's important. It's a peacekeeping and humanitarian armada.
We done?
I'm done. Your father was captain of a starship for 12 minutes. He saved 800 lives, including your mother's and yours. I dare you to do better.
Listen to that voice, by the way.
Yeah.
We sound like such weenies compared to Bruce Greenwood, don't we?
Okay, must join Starfleet. I would say, what time do I need to be there?
Yeah, it was so much fun. And JJ is just, I mean, he loves the chaos, right? So the set is just jumping all the time.
Yeah.
And he's a big beatboxer, too, which is...
I'm sorry?
He's a big beatboxer. Mm-hmm.
JJ Abrams?
Mm-hmm.
Is a beatboxer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
wish we'd known that.
Wish we would have known that yesterday when we talked to him.
Yeah. Right. So he'd grab the mic. The sets are huge, right? So quite often you have to use a mic to communicate with people. And he'd be...
That's fantastic. You know, we're so impressed with him, and we've been lucky enough to get to know him a little bit. We've had him on the air for a lot of his projects over the years, and I don't know how a guy stays as calm as he seems to with as many things that he has to juggle in his head at any one time.
I don't know either. It's bizarre how focused he can be and what a massive, massive army he's at the head of, and at the same time when he's talking to you, you know he hears you and he's paying attention.
Yeah, it does seem like you're important when you're talking to him,
mm-hmm.
and it would be so easy for him to be sidetracked or thinking about other things.
No, he creates that illusion of you actually being in the room with him like you can't believe.
Yeah,
he's a fantastic guy.
And he's a beatboxer. Now we know.
You know for next time.
you may not care about my $8 because you've already made $100 million on this movie, but I'm going to see it this weekend, Bruce, and I'm very excited to see Captain Pike, who I remember very well from the TV series. I'm very excited to see the movie, and congratulations on all the success with this and everything you've been doing.
Oh, thanks very much.
Thank you. Bruce Greenwood, thanks a lot.
Okay, ciao.
Bye now. 3 days grace on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 6:51.
Strong. Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, congratulations to Jason Lubas, by the way. He won tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta, plus backstage passes. That show is tomorrow. You ought to be there. And if you're not, you ought to be watching it online at krock.com. All the details are available there. And we have more chances for you to win coming up. Plus, Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day coming up just after 7. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on with you?
Jason Lubas. Lubas, you hardly even know us.
Whoa!
Sweet.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets of a different kind? I know everyone's talking about Weenie Roast tickets, but I've got tickets to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Terminator Salvation.
Can't wait.
Yay!
This is another one of my must-see movies of the summer.
If you're hearing this, you are the Resistance.
Yeah.
Love that.
Christian Bale's just solid. Saw a commercial last night for, what's that? The gangster movies make with Johnny Depp?
Yes.
Public Enemies?
Yeah.
Boy, does that look great, too. Anyway, if you'd like to go to the special advance screening of Terminator Salvation, if you'd like to see it before it ends up in theaters on May the 21st, We're doing one on the 18th of May at the Arclight, which is a great place to see a movie, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Because you know why? They got a bar there.
True.
You can drink at the movie.
Oh, good for you.
It is good for me. Here's the trivia question. My favorite of all the Terminators?
Yes.
Was Christiana Loken.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember her?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's hot. And she was the only Terminator who could make her boobs grow. Remember when the cop comes over to give her a ticket?
Oh,
he goes,
that's right.
And her cans got huge.
That's right. I forgot about that.
What model Terminator was Christina Loken?
Oh.
In that movie. What model was she? Psycho Mike knows the
answer. Pretty one.
Wow. She was a pretty model, but she was a supermodel, as a matter of fact. But, yeah, call now with the answer, 1-800-520-1067. The first five callers with the correct answer wins a pair of tickets for Terminator Salvation, the special K-Rock edition.
You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy.
Thank you. I think I am, too. I've got a quick battle to settle here before I get into the showbiz news.
Okay.
You know, my people ask me from time to time to weigh in, and I feel it's my duty.
Who are your people?
Let's say the science fiction enthusiasts.
Ah, the dorks.
The comic book collectors and, you know.
Losers, right?
The dorks.
Readers. No.
The geeks.
No. I'll tell you something. Hey.
Nimrods.
I'll have you know that these are the people who keep the wheels of society turning, my friends.
Okay.
Oh, like Steve Jobs? What's the other Kermit the Frog sounding one? What's that guy?
I don't know.
Wozniak?
No, they won with the...
Gates.
Bill Gates?
Yeah.
I never heard the Kermit reference.
when he talks, he talks sounds like
he
Kermit
sort the
Frog.
Of does. That's true.
Yeah, okay. We got a new product here, and it's going
to
be really great.
What are the listeners asking you to weigh in on?
Dear Ralph, I happen to be a Star Wars fan, and my friend happens to be a Star Trek fan. Well, over the past few weeks, we've been arguing about who would win in a fight, a Jedi or a Borg. I, of course, say that a Jedi would win with their knowledge and power of the Force, and he, of course, chooses the Borg because of their ability to adapt to any situation. Now, I don't know too much about the Borg, and he doesn't know much about the Jedi. I was wondering if you could help us settle this for someone who has knowledge of both. Thank you for your help, loyal listener Patrick in Arleta. Thank you, Patrick, for your email. Well, I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
The Jedi would win
right over
the Borg, because not only does he have the Force with him, but he's got the lightsaber,
mm-hmm.
and he's got the ability to freeze the Borg in his tracks with the Force.
Sure.
And more importantly... The Borg, as we all know, is a collective mind.
I don't know anything
about
that.
And so, with the Jedi mind tricks, he could make the collective, the Borg collective, believe whatever he wanted to.
I don't even know what that is.
So you can see my point, where the Jedi would easily have the upper hand in a battle between the Jedi and the Borg.
Sure.
I'm going to say something. I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but you're being a huge dork.
Come on! The people have spoken!
How have they spoken?
They emailed me.
All right.
Can we get an answer to my trivia question?
Let's go to Ben.
Ben. Ben.
The TX.
The TX is the correct answer. Christina Loken was the TX in Terminator 7, I want to say.
I don't know that there were seven of them.
That was Terminator 3, right?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you are getting... tickets to Terminator Salvation, a special K-Rock screening. Well, not everything's going well for Carrie Prejean, who was our Miss California.
Mm-hmm. Certainly once the wind was against her.
Oh, remember it blew that vest open?
That's crazy.
Then that guy took all those photos in between the actual
yes.
photos he was taking and then posted them up online.
She was shocked. That should not happen in America.
Unbeknownst to her.
That's what I'm saying.
That should not happen in America.
That's right.
This should not happen in America.
Well, apparently the Vista Unified School District in San Diego had decided to honor Miss California with a Carrie Prejean Day.
Yeah.
Jim Gibson was a trustee who proposed the Carrie Prejean Day in the first place. And apparently everyone on the school board voted it down except for him. Steve Lilly, vice president of the school board, said they had never honored a former student before and didn't feel like they should start with someone who had breast implants, posed semi-nude, and said her goal was to be a Victoria's Secret model one day. So they axed down that idea. She will not be getting her own day in San Diego.
What a shame.
That is a shame.
She wouldn't have shown anyway.
That's true. She would have partied the night before and canceled, like she did on Larry King. Congratulations. It's great news for all of us.
What is?
Sometimes I don't like the movie remake. Sometimes I don't like the reboots. But in this particular case, its time has come.
All right.
Yes. Cliffhangers being remade.
Nope.
Yep.
What?
I don't know what that is.
That movie.
Oh,
that
was Lisa, the, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was Sylvester Stallone movie.
Stallone.
The opening
mountain
scene.
Mountain climbing movie.
The opening scene.
That's what everyone remembers. You know what? Watch the second through the end scenes, and then tell me how you like that movie.
The opening scene killed me.
The opening scene is amazing.
My God.
And the movie blows.
Yes,
that was terrible.
Yes, it does.
But the opening scene.
Yes, we're not
everyone
arguing.
Everyone remembers that.
We're
but
not
it's
arguing
the second
with you.
Scene through the credits.
I don't
credits.
Remember those.
That is bad.
Oh, yeah. It was so bad.
Yeah, they are going to reboot 1993's Cliffhanger.
Well, then this is something you could improve upon.
Yes, it could.
If it was so bad.
He was a rescue climber, right? And then he lost the passion, and then...
Well, because he lost his girlfriend or something.
right, that opening scene.
He died, yeah.
Yeah, and so he lost his nerve. Then he had to go back up and save his brother or something. I don't know how it worked.
Then he had to arm wrestle a guy in a bar, yeah, if I remember correctly.
And some Russian mountain climber came along and he had to battle him for the...
he had to box that other dude.
The honor of America.
Cliffhanger, though, I do think was the peak of Stallone's swoleness. He
All
was
right, easy.
Super swole.
All right, Mike. Here's what the producer says. Just as they rebooted Star Trek, we're going to do the same for Cliffhanger. All right, easy.
Comparable.
Easy. Not the same thing.
Yeah.
Franchise, millions of fans, a dozen different incarnations. Cliffhanger.
All you have to say is that you're going to do it right this time.
Yeah.
That's all.
But don't get all excited about yourself. They're making a new Wuthering Heights, too. You know how many times that book has been made into a movie, Wuthering Heights? Apparently, it's going to be Gemma Arterton.
Yeah.
Arterton.
Yeah.
From Quantum of Solace. She was in Quantum of Solace.
Oh, yes.
And Gossip Girl's Ed Westwick.
Oh.
As Heathcliff.
I love Gossip Girl.
It's an interesting mix and match.
It'll be a good time.
I don't know about that. I'm making no guarantees.
I can dig it.
A lot of jocks being heard from today. Great list in the Chicago Tribune of the 10 most hated comedians.
10 Ooh. Most hated?
10 most hated comedians.
Well, I there better be the person I'm thinking of at number one, I'll tell you that.
It isn't, but he's on the list, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a great list.
Okay.
You can argue with the order, I think, but not with the membership.
All 10?
All 10.
All right.
Number 10 on the most hated comedians list. Chicago Tribune newspaper posted this. Carlos Mencia.
Aye, aye, aye.
Absolutely.
Number 10 on the list. Number 9, Dennis Miller.
I can see that.
He is pretty polarizing.
Is he? Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen him do stand-up, really.
Number 8, Gilbert Gottfried.
I can see that.
Why do you think that people hate me? Why? What aspect of me could be the least bit annoying to people? I don't understand why you would say that.
I love him, but I can totally see that.
Yeah. Number 7, only 7, but with a bullet, I'm sure, Dane Cook.
How outrageous is that at number 7?
Wait till you hear the others.
That's Bean's pick for number 1, by the way. That's what he was talking about.
Carrot Top, number 6.
Oh, sure.
You can see, there's an argument to be made that Carrot Top could beat out Dane Cook.
He's scary physically, even.
Yes. Number 5, Gallagher. You can see that, can't you?
Sure.
Yep.
I can, absolutely, yeah.
Number 4, Andrew Dice Clay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you see him on Celebrity Apprentice?
Yeah, even the finale.
Very few people were as hateable as him.
Andy, how you doing since you did the show? Donnie, I'm doing great. It's just... a lot of that.
I thought he stopped doing that a long time ago, but apparently not.
Jay Leno, third on the list.
Jay Leno, third on the list.
Wow, that's a little harsh.
Comedians. I hate him as a comedian. He seems like a nice guy. But I hate him as a comedian.
Do you?
Yeah. He's so milquetoast. He's so white bread. He's just so least common denominator comedy. Number 2, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Larry the Cable Guy.
There you go.
Sure.
Ooh, get her done. Number 2.
I can see
that. Number 1 most hated comedian, according to the Chicago Tribune.
Wow, who could it be?
You'll never guess, but you'll laugh.
Never guess?
Yeah, you'll never guess. Because he's been so far off the radar. He's just been so...
Norm MacDonald?
Out of our consciousness that we really haven't thought about him in a while, but when I bring him back, he'll go, oh, yeah, he was horrible.
All right.
Anyone? Bueller? Mm-hmm. Anyone?
Hmm. Can't think. No, I don't have...
Number 1 of the most hated comedians, according to the Chicago Tribune, Sinbad, everybody. Sinbad.
Really?
I didn't know he was hated.
Does he even qualify as a comedian?
Maxim has already picked Sinbad as the single worst comedian in history.
Wow.
And he's also landed among the list of California's top tax evaders. So he's got a lot of lists working for him. He's got that going for
Sinbad.
Him. Sinbad.
When do we get our murder button?
I haven't heard that in
Good
a long
question.
Time.
When do we get our murder button? Kristen Cavallari is going to be taking over for Lauren Conrad's slot on the Hills when season 6 begins this fall.
Entertainment Weekly says we know how it's going to happen. Her first appearance will be on the May 31st season finale this year when she catches the bouquet at Heidi and Spencer's wedding. That's how they're bringing her into the fold over there on the hills.
Yeah. Well, how fortuitous, since this is a
reality
show.
What a coincidence, Lisa, that she's going to be on the show
next season,
and she catches the bouquet in this season.
You could not have planned that.
Wow. It really shows that God is on their side.
Wow. Wow.
And I told you already that Martin Scorsese is planning on doing a biopic on Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which I can't wait for on a multitude of reasons, but we're also debating who would he cast.
Sinbad.
As Sinatra, because you have one of the premier icons of entertainment history. It's hard for an actor to assume that role.
Ralph does a pretty good Sinatra voice.
That's all I'm saying.
Ralph.
I could do aging, bloated, fat, dying Sinatra. I could take that. I could play that role.
They're playing Weenie Roast too.
Are they really? Apparently, he's leaning towards his go-to guy, Leonardo DiCaprio, to play Frank Sinatra.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, I assume you want somebody who can play a range of ages for Sinatra.
Right.
Because, you know, the first name I thought of was Ray Liotta, who did such a great job with Sinatra in that TV miniseries, but then I thought, well, he can't play the young Sinatra,
right.
So he's probably out.
Right.
Leonardo, I mean, he's a great actor.
Yeah, he is. That's an odd choice, but
he's
right.
A great actor.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I don't say, well, it seems a little
out of
work. He's got blue eyes. They got that in common. And he is a great actor, so I wouldn't put anything past him, but he's not the first choice that would spring to my mind when I think Sinatra.
No, Michael Clark Duncan.
Michael Clark Duncan would be
a good
choice.
That's an excellent choice.
Carrot Top would be good.
Sure.
Sandra Boyle. Think she would be good?
The best.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Musician Brian Eno is 61 years old today.
Rodney.
Any of the Boston Red Wings? Any of them? They would be good. Jazz Palminteri is 57 years old today. Sam Trammell from True Blood is 38 years old today. Dave Krumholtz from Numbers, and a real good guy. I've had a chance to talk with him. He's a real nice guy. He is 31 years old today. And Jamie Lynn Sigler, you know her as Meadow Sopranos from The Sopranos, and you've seen her also on Entourage Bangin' Turtle, which is just wrong on many, many levels.
Yes, it is.
She's 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Welcome to paradise. I hope you had the time of your life.
Back, 21st Century Breakdown, available in stores today and download everywhere. And Billy Joe Armstrong from the band Green Day joins us again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Billy Joe, how are you, man?
Good. Hey, how are you guys?
Very good.
Great
Thank you.
Great to talk to you. It's been a while. You know, it's funny. Sometimes when someone goes away, we don't talk to them for a couple years. It's because they've been lounging. They've been on a beach somewhere. Everything I've read lately makes it sound like you guys have worked every single minute of every single day since the last time we talked to you. It's been crazy.
That's what it feels like, anyway.
Are you not one of those guys that's not able to take a vacation? You can't just do something else?
No, I go and hang out and stuff like that. You know, sometimes, but it's just like, I guess it's just kind of like a constant like radio inside my head going off all the time. So I just have to, we just really wanted to just jump in on the next record. We felt like, you know, this is. Now that we have everyone's attention, let's make a great record.
Let's do another record. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt you worked very, very hard, and we've been lucky enough to hear the album in its entirety ahead of it coming out today. And you have, I mean, if it's possible to have topped American Idiot, I think you've done it, which must, I mean, what a daunting task. I mean, at the time American Idiot came out, everybody said, well, this is their masterpiece. Clearly, we're witnessing Green Day at their peak. Who thought they had anything left in the well? You know, it's amazing.
Wow, that's cool. You never know. You're so close to it. You don't know how good it is or anything. You know, it feels right. You know, and then, but I don't know. I think like just with the last record, I think it just kind of was like a more of like a gave us like a creative opportunity. So we just wanted to try to take it a step further. You know,
is it easy to put those voices out of your head, saying, okay, the last one did so well, people seem to like it so much, we have to. Did you try to avoid that sound, or did you try to not repeat yourself or any of that?
I just say you just we just went for it, you know. I mean, you know, we set the bar really high for the last record, and then with 21st Century Breakdown, we were just like, let's just, you know, just go even further. But, you know, the only thing you could do is wait and be patient, and that, you know, that's why it takes a couple of years for it to be completed, you know.
I think it was in the Rolling Stone interview. I don't remember where I read it, but you were talking about being patient and how you have the music pretty much done for some of the songs, but the lyrics don't come sometimes for, it seems like, forever. I think it was Restless Heart Syndrome. You said you had the music, and it was like a year later before you had lyrics.
Yeah, I had it, and I had but there's another thing that happens, too, is that you have, like, you'll write a song, and you go, oh, that song is from, you know, I should write that song in 5 years from now. I don't know why you ever think something like that, but, like, you know, we were working with Butch Vig, and he was like, oh, you know, that's a good melody, because like, I just played it for him, and then he was like, I have a good melody, and I'm like, nah, no. And then he was like, they should write lyrics, and I was like, all right, and you wait for the melody and the lyric. It's like they have to sort of match in a certain way or
right.
something, or
mm-hmm.
just something to hit you over the head. You
do you keep the music around? Do you sing it and try to think? What's the process where you put yourself on receive for lyrics?
Well, stuff like Know Your Enemy was written like in 5 minutes with like the whole thing, you know, that one and like 21 Guns and stuff like that. I mean, that was all like that. Those songs are easy. Every song is different, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the song 21st Century Breakdown, I kind of had that, and then there was like the second part of that song where it goes in that sort of Irish drinking part,
right?
And then it either, like the second half to that, it took a long time. I was like, what am I going to write about now? So you just go and take a couple of walks, and then stuff starts to come to my mind.
This is Billy Joe Armstrong on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the new Green Day album available for download and in stores now called 21st Century Breakdown. You guys have been together, I mean, it's going to be coming up on 20 years here pretty soon. Is it tough to all grow at the same time in the same direction when you have taken it so far? When you started out doing one thing and are now someplace else, was it tough to keep everybody on the same track?
Well, we have been around over 20 years now. That's the crazy thing. We're
yeah,
like 21.
Wow.
We're like Green Day will be 21 this in October of this year.
Have a drink.
I know we're legal.
But I mean, I could just see it, the way the group has evolved. I could see along the way, you know, maybe not everybody shares the same vision of what the band should be, and I wonder if that ever causes any kind of conflict in order to, you know, to be able to play together and do this kind of music.
I think it just kind of causes mass confusion because they're, you know, it's like you're trying to explain like what the ideas are, or what, you know, the sort of overall concept for the album is, and you know, and people, and then you know, Mike Trey look at me like I should be stuck in a loony bin sometimes, and you know, and then and I, you guys just don't understand, you know, or whatever. But eventually it just starts to, you know, evolve and it starts to unfold, and then you go, and then every. You know, and it's never exactly the way you thought it was going to turn out. And then you just start to be like, oh, yeah, okay, now I see what's going on.
I have some clips from the new CD, 21 Guns. Is there anything you want to tell us before we hear a little clip of that?
You know, I started writing a little bit more on piano, and that's one of the songs that I came up with. And it was kind of, I think it was like the sixth or seventh song that I wrote for the record.
21 Guns.
That's funny. You talk about the piano part, and then I play the guitar part.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. What about?
Yeah, it's on guitar too.
And what about East Jesus Nowhere?
East Jesus Nowhere. We had sort of a religious experience with that one, so it was kind of written about just like the sort of a hypocrisy in religion, and it's just like a really hard rocking number. It's like just got that full on. It's like just a, you know, it's kind of a riff from hell.
I got to tell you, I don't know if you guys do this on purpose, but your music is, it seems like it is so built to be played on stage. And some bands, they have to figure out a way to make it work, but it feels like you write songs that you're going to want to love to perform for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just a real physical band anyway, you know? I mean, we're kind of like the Power Rangers. In that
And which one are you, if you're the Power Rangers?
Probably the chick.
I'm okay.
Sure. Hey, Billy Joe, I know some of these warm-up gigs that you've been doing, you've been playing this whole new record back to front in part one of the set, and then doing a more traditional set, including requests the second half. Is that what you'll be bringing to the Forum, or will it have evolved by the time you get here in August?
It'll probably evolve. I think we'll probably playing a lot of our back catalog and a lot of new songs at the same time, you know. So it'll be a mix up of a lot of stuff, and you know, because I still love playing stuff like Basket Case too. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it possible for you to do a concert and not do Time of Your Life, or would they burn the mother down?
No, that's totally possible.
It is. Sorry.
I mean, we haven't played it yet, you know. So no, you know, we played Macy's Day Parade not too long ago, which was that felt good to play that one.
Well, I got to tell you, we're really excited. Bean mentioned the Forum. That is Tuesday, August 25th. The new CD is 21st Century Breakdown. Here's the title track from that. 21st Century Breakdown. I once was like, but never was down. I think I'll be sure what's up to my mind. To the 20th century deadline. I got to tell you, we're so excited when bands we like bring out new music, because it means that we can slow down the rotation on the Red Hot Chili Peppers 1986 album.
Unless they're the band that's coming out with the new record that we like, in which case we're happy about it. Billy Joe, we've been working behind the scenes to figure out a way to do something else with you and the guys. You remember we did that Breakfast with Green Day a few years ago, and we had so much fun. You took questions from the audience and played live. We're trying to work something like that out. If your schedule permits this summer, it'd be great to get a chance to catch up with all three of you again.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right, fantastic. 21st Century Breakdown in stores today. Billy Joe Armstrong, thanks for spending some time with us.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
Why's the King of Mexico coming in here? What's Dave doing here? We're busy, very busy. Got a very busy show today, David.
Dave is obsessed with something, and it's really bizarre to me. He's obsessed with bacon vodka. And
that's, you don't know why.
That sounds like a bad combination.
Yes,
sounds
it does.
So yummy.
For some,
Dave found out, Dave loves to drink, first of all, and I don't know whether he's drunk everything else on the planet and he's one of those like crazy sex fiends who now has to do the most absurd profane things in order to get turned on. Now Dave can't just drink regular alcohol. He can't be satisfied with just going out and getting a drink. Now it has to be some sort of crazy ass flavor. So he's been doing nothing but talking about this bacon vodka to the point where because it's not for sale in California, he made me drive to a liquor store in Washington to buy a bottle to take with me when I go to the Weenie Roast this weekend because he can't wait till it's available there.
Bacon Marys. That's all I'm saying. It's going to taste so good.
He's obsessed with making Bloody Marys with
bacon
vodka.
Bacon Marys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Ew.
So, and I think it sounds weird. I'd like to taste it just because how can that possibly work?
Would it be like a BLT that you drink?
You know, I've done.
Could be, yeah.
I've done everything with vodka, from snorting it to, vodka, Red Bulls, everything. Everything across. And now there's one thing left, and that's bacon
and that's
vodka.
Bacon. Yeah.
And I got someone to back me up, Kevin.
Okay.
I got the creator of bacon vodka.
On the phone?
On the red line.
You booked
7.
Someone?
What's happening
Choctaw.
Here?
Why is my man?
Why is Dave booking guests now?
That should not be allowed.
Stephen Choctaw.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
You're the guy that created bacon vodka?
I'm one of the team. It was three good buddies that came up with the concept of bacon vodka.
All right, let me ask you this.
Bring it to the masses.
Good work, my friend.
Let me ask you this question. When you were sitting around thinking, what should we mix with vodka? You know, salmon vodka, kimchi vodka. I'm sure you threw out a bunch of stuff. And then somebody said bacon. Why didn't the other two go, no, that sounds terrible?
Because it's delicious. That's the
but what made
answer.
You think that it would be, like in your head when you put those two flavors together, what made you think, hey, this is going to work?
Well, you know what makes a lot of sense is everybody loves bacon and the majority of us love vodka too. So we decided to infuse the two, right?
But you don't need to. You can have bacon and you can have vodka and they can stay separate.
Think of the time you can save, though. If they're both
well,
together.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But I mean, look, people like hamburgers too. Does that mean there needs to be a hamburger vodka?
That's yes.
You've got to draw the line in the sand someplace.
Dodger that dog is vodka.
But yeah. Now, that's not as tasty as bacon, Bean. You know, hamburgers are good, but not as tasty as bacon. And bacon has that flavor. And put it with vodka? Yes.
Let me ask you this, Stefan. I'm no chemist, and please try to keep this in laypeople's terms, but I mean, there's no actual bacon involved in making the bacon vodka. Isn't it some sort of chemical that they've been able to create that replicates the flavor of vodka?
Well, what we do is we use a mix of natural and artificial flavors in it. So it actually has real pepper oils in it, so it's a spicy pepper bacon flavor. So there's just a real rich bacon flavor that comes out in the vodka. And I'll tell you what, it's not just the bacon Mary that's good. You'll be blown away with the chocolate bacon martini.
Ew. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Tell you what.
Those are
what, it's really good. Don't knock it until you try it.
Those are three things that should remain separate.
Dear God.
Maybe he's on to something. Maybe
there's a few up there that are pretty tasty.
Menudo vodka. That's my favorite. I like that.
I prefer smegma vodka. That's what I do.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Dave, are you going to try the chocolate bacon martinis?
That's if I can make it, I'll try everything, especially at Weenie, you know? I'll try everything.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, on our website, we're putting more and more different cocktails that bartenders around the country are coming up with. But a lot of bartenders are really excited because bacon is something totally brand new to be mixing cocktails with.
It is. You know why? It sounds like a terrible idea.
Let's reserve judgment until we spend some time partying in the King's Room this weekend at Weenie Rose, because he's going to have it. Hey, Stefan, that wasn't a joke. What I told you is true, is that Dave made me drive down to that liquor store at 4th Avenue in Seattle, pick up a bottle, and I'm flying it down in my suitcase tomorrow to take him for our big concert. So
Excellent. Yeah, it's been flying off the shelves, so we're pretty excited about it.
Now, people listening in Southern California that want to buy the bacon vodka, not available there yet, right?
It's not available in Southern California yet. I'm glad you brought that up. We're looking for ways to get it down to California, looking for distributors and brokers. We've talked to a couple different companies down there.
Do any of them say, what?
what's funny is that people kind of, when we first give it to them, they say, gosh, dang it, what is this? Really bacon vodka? Are you serious? And then they try it, and without fail, people say, you know, damn, that actually tastes like bacon. That's really good stuff.
All right, dude, I'll sell it out of my car.
But if it tastes like bacon,
I'll do it.
I'll be a distributor.
Yeah. Take some notes. We'd also like schnitzel vodka, venison vodka, and Labrador vodka. I think people.
It's baconvodka.com, and that's with a K, by the way. Baconvodka.com. Stefan, thank you for coming on. Good luck with it, dude.
Thanks, dude, for creating that.
No problem. We love it. Tell people to sign up on the mailing list, and we'll tell them when it's available in their zip code.
There you go.
All right, dude. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
The bacon Marys will be flowing tomorrow.
Sounds bad, but okay.
Scroll, ladies and gentlemen. Time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Yeah.
Number one.
How are you? What's going on?
Good.
I'm angry.
Why?
What a surprise.
Well, I'm tired and angry. I did Loveline all this week.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, thank you for getting up.
What was that like, being back in the old stomping ground?
It was really, it was like visiting a, like your grandfather at the morgue. It really was.
It's so bad?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Not good?
Well, no.
Right.
Evidently, when I left, I packed more than my cans and took them with me. I took the show.
Is that right?
Yeah, evidently. It's gone. Drew's beleaguered. He's lost his will to live. Producer Ann is just circling like a plane without a landing strip. Anderson is as pissed as ever over there. It's a nightmare. A couple of their phone screeners. That's about it.
All right. What's got you mad this week, Adam?
Okay. Number one, cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
Everyone loves cupcakes. How can you be mad at cupcakes?
9-year-olds love cupcakes, Bean. And then they were gone. Remember they left? Remember like in 1977 we said goodbye to the waterbed, the cupcake, and the 8-track players?
I didn't know that was with them all.
Goodbye, cupcake. I went to the pier. And I waved goodbye as the cupcake barge pulled out to sea. And I said, goodbye. And then I turned to my friend. I said, we'll never see the likes of them again. Gone forever. We'll never see another cupcake. And we took 30 years off. And then 2 years ago, someone said, we need more cupcakes. But now we need jumbo cupcakes. And ones that are, you know, they're filled with things. And by the way, there's no way to consume a cupcake without looking gay. You ever try to stand around and have a conversation with another 40-year-old guy who's eating a cupcake?
Yeah, you can't do that.
You have weird... First off, the frosting will get on your eyebrows, under your eyelids. It'll block a nostril. It's weird. It's like you're in a pie-eating contest. So But if you put the cupcake down and get a fork and knife, you're the most uptight guy on the planet. Yeah. Like, wow, look at Sir Walter Raleigh over there. Tony Randall's enjoying his cupcake over there. Do not disturb him. So there's no good way. And then you get to the bottom of the cupcake, and there's a little cupcake left, and you think, well, now do I shove the whole foil thing against my face and look like some crazed raccoon, or I just set it down? What do you do with the bottom of the cupcake? The frosting's gone. The jimmy's gone. Whatever they put in the middle is gone. You got that little, you got 3/4 inch of cake at the bottom.
Since I'm not worried about looking gay, I just suck it off.
You just, but now it's in there.
Oh, guys.
All right. Anyway, what's next?
Well, wait a minute. Let me think about that.
How do we know? You're the one that's doing this week in Rage.
Toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
The toilet paper roll.
Okay.
No beginning and no end.
That's true.
The beginning is spin it around a couple dozen times. See if you can find a shard of it. Peel that shard off. The shard comes down, down the middle. It'll cut a valley an inch deep in the middle of it. Then you finally bust it off, and the next 80 sheets look like a dragon's tongue. It's like you got the two. So you have to burn like 80 sheets just to get back to a starter sheet.
And you got to be careful not to keep
it ripping. Obviously, it's part of a conspiracy. And then it's weird because you have the messed up shards in your hand. You have this bad bird nest of toilet paper in your hand. You don't want to throw it away, but you dare not wipe your ass with it because there's it's too risky because it's too piecemeal. Yes, it's essentially toilet paper that's been put through a shredder and then put in your hand, and you're thinking, if I ball it up tight enough, I think I can do it without making any contact. But if I throw it away, I'm just throwing away half the rainforest here. And then you get to the end of the roll, and the end of the roll is kind of like, oh, I love my roll. I'm not letting go. It really, like, it clings on to the end. You know how the last three sheets are spot welded to the cardboard? You don't think there's a way to wind that thing without taking a hot glue gun or a Healy arc and just welding it to it? Couldn't it just pop off? Wouldn't it be liberating just to have the last one just pop off? And then how about this? How about colors? Like, how about as you get down to the end, I just saw a blue sheet. That means only 40 more sheets before I get it. You know what I mean? A little heads up, like the ribbon they use in a cash register. You know, they'll have it.
It's getting
to the end of the roll. I'm just saying, why do they have to weld the last two sheets to the roll? And then why do you have to do that same weird, horrible, pathetic move you do with the cupcake where you're trying to get the last? I'm just going to, Lisa, you ever put that? Wait, you put it in your mouth?
Not the cupcake.
No, okay.
I'm just saying,
just wind it. It could just pop off like everything else.
All right.
All right. You have a commercial for me. Last night at 6:40 in the evening, I was ironically sitting down with the family, eating spaghetti, watching TMZ, because we don't like to talk when we eat. We watch TMZ. And this commercial came on. It was for birth control.
There's a birth control pill called Seasonal that's almost exactly like traditional birth control pills. The protection is the same, the hormones are the same, but prescription Seasonal has a difference. It extends the time between your periods. How? Each pack has 3 straight months of active pills instead of 3 weeks. You get a period when you finish the 3-month pack, so you have 4 periods a year. During the first year on Seasonal, you're more likely to have bleeding or spotting between periods.
Wow. Spaghetti at this point.
This can be slight to a flow like a regular period.
Okay. The 175th time this bitch said period while I was eating, I was like, I'm going to kill you. Period. And I just thought, we have certain rules in our society. Certain things are just sort of in poor taste, certain things that people don't want to hear. You play them in the middle of the night, or you play them early in the morning. You don't play them at 6:30 in the goddamn evening when I'm eating my dinner, period. She's talking about spotting and bleeding.
That's awful.
Maybe that's a conversation we had just between a mom and a daughter whispering.
Yes, not broadcast. Then you're just sitting there eating your spaghetti, and she's going, you know, sometimes I get my period, and other times I have a period, and I have an extra period. Now, those of you who take Seasonal who end up with extra periods can sell those periods on eBay. And I'm like, gosh Christ. By the way, ladies, 2 days once a month. Tough it out. Would you please suck it up? Your mom did it. Her grandmother, your grandmother's grandmother did it. They're all fine. Just suck it up. Stop playing God with the pills. And let me eat my damn spaghetti.
All right.
right?
All right. Number two, depending on going down.
Which direction we're going.
The toilet seat.
The toilet seat. You have a lot of toilet problems.
Yeah, well, this one involves Dr. Drew.
Okay.
I was doing Loveline two nights ago. I was yelling at Drew during the commercial break, and I insisted that he leave the door open to the bathroom so I could talk to him through the door. You know, I didn't want him. Over at Westwood One, it's just a single commode in the bathroom. But if he shuts the door on me, he can't hear whatever tirade I'm on. So I insisted he leave the bathroom door open while he turned his back to me and urinate. And Dr. Drew, the great Dr. Drew, a man who took an oath to do no harm, was taking a whiz with the toilet seat down at the workplace. At the workplace. Yeah. Not the common courtesy or decency to lift the toilet seat.
That's bad form, Adam.
It's horrible form. And then I thought two things. A, if they started putting the little handle on these things when I told them to start doing it 20 years ago, he may have been compelled to lift it. But as it is now, you have to slide your hand under the filthy toilet seat and lift it up. But then I realized here was the problem, because I've worked with a lot of people that whiz in the commode with the toilet seat down at work.
Okay.
All the commercial toilet seats are wishbone shaped. They're horseshoe shaped.
Oh,
they have
that
break in the middle.
They do have a break in them.
That break in them is 2 inches and just enough to beckon you. Thread the needle. You can do it. You can make this. You're not going to get anything on me. Go ahead. Come on, big boy. Come on, champ. You played a little high school ball, didn't you? That penis of yours, Matt Baby's rifled. You're a marksman. Come on. Come on, take the whiz. I won't feel a thing. You'll never touch me. It'll be like it never happened. Come on, whiz on me. You won't get me. Thread the needle. Because it breaks in the middle.
It does.
That's just enough for you to go, you know what? I can get this.
But can you?
No, you can't. Because there's always that rogue salvo right at the end. You think you've made it? I'm out of here. Uh-oh. One continuous hoop. Why not shape it like the bagel, the one you have at home?
Right.
Why make that break in the middle that beckons every second guy to try to thread the needle but can't?
Okay.
What is the why do commercial toilet seats not connect?
I don't know.
Why is there no connection? There's no bond. It's like the right side and the left side of the toilet seat are having a problem. Sorry, buddy, no can do. I don't want to meet you in the middle. We've got issues. We're not going to get around this. Let's just make it horseshoe shape. Meet in the middle. People will stop trying to thread the needle. Dr. Drew, who could not do it, by the way.
All right.
And last but not least, television. Now, maybe I'm guilty of this myself because I was on Dancing with the Stars, but then you see all these fashion shows, you know, these runway shows are also popular, and then there's all these dancing shows that are popular, and then there's, you know, the American Idol and all very popular.
Right.
And I was thinking to myself while I was watching, you know, how, you know, the number one show is a dancing show, the number two shows, or number one's a singing show, number two's a dancing show.
You're on a dancing show.
I know. I'm a hypocrite.
How can you complain about it?
I'm merely pointing it out.
If anyone can do it, Carolla can do it.
Here's how I can complain about it.
All right.
If you go back to, like, let's just say the year 2000.
Yes.
And somebody said to you, what is the future of television?
Right.
I would have said, it's going to involve Ultimate Fighting. I know it's going to involve Ultimate Fighting. I would say Ultimate Fighting, but shot from a dashboard cam of a cruiser, and somehow there's sex involved at the end. Somebody's going to get bootleg porn meets outlaw octagon fighting or something. Porn and fighting. There's going to be naked people in an octagon, and the whole thing's going to be shot from a dashboard cam. That would have been my whole thing. It's just going to be cops wrestling guys onto hoods and beating the crap out of them, and then the octagon, and then just bootleg porn. That'll be it. And somehow it's turned into gowns and sequins and singing. We've taken a massive step backward in the entertainment department. I thought in 2000, by 2009, we would be heading toward just pure debauchery. Instead, we've got commercials that talk about your period for 20 minutes and then chicks dancing and singing behind it. Not a step in the right direction. I'm just saying I want to see a guy get his face pounded in an octagon, and I want to see it all filmed from a dashboard cam because that's my new favorite cam.
You don't want to see the a-holes that are on Dancing with the Stars. That's what you're saying.
Okay.
That's what you're saying, right?
I didn't start the show. I merely participated in it. Listen,
Adam,
you're thinking I'm Hitler. I'm just one of the guys who got recruited from a village.
When your CBS sitcom takes off this fall and you've got all that clout with the network, that's when you get your Octagon dashboard show.
Dashboard
going.
Cam. The whole show is just called Cop Dashboard Cam. Whatever happens in what happens in front of the hood, and it's I don't care what it is, but it's all good. Have you ever seen anything bad come from a dashboard cam? Anything that wasn't interesting, right?
Never. That's true.
It's all good. All right.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage on the Kevin Beach Show every Friday.
Can I just jump in? If my sitcom goes. First decree, get rid of the cameras, dashboard cameras.
There you go.
That's a fantastic idea. I want to see a hood in the front of every shot I'm in. I don't care if I'm standing in my living room. I'm going to see part of a cop hood in front of me.
Go to adamcarolla.com. Be sure to download Adam's podcast and check out details at his big charity event going on at his house. That's tomorrow, right, Adam?
That's
a week from tomorrow. Week from tomorrow.
Week from tomorrow, right.
All right, good times. We'll see you next week, man. Thanks for coming by.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Great news. Finally. What we've all been waiting for.
What have we all been waiting for?
It is the reunion tour of Kaja Goo Goo.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Woo!
It's the reunion no one expected or ever really asked for. Kaja Goo Goo.
Yeah!
Getting back together again with the original lineup and the first time in 25 years.
This is a punk-ass move to announce this today to overshadow the Green Day album coming out.
I know. I feel
now,
bad.
Who's going to care about Billy
Look,
Joe, right?
I got to break the news. If it happens, I have to report it. Finally, Lamal getting back in front of the mic. Too shy, shy, hush, hush. I don't remember what that lyric was there.
They
President
probably don't
of the Kaja Goo Goo fan club said, "We just really don't care." This is just sad for them.
It's too bad.
NBC's Dateline will be taking a break from catching perverts to dedicate an entire one-hour evening to the story of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, look, if you want to catch perverts. That. Dangled Taylor Swift in front of him. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Now, she's got to be a country singer.
Chip is logging in.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. She has to be one of the few country singers that you're okay with, I would imagine, Ralph.
Only because she's from Philadelphia.
And she's hot, and her songs are good.
No, but she is hot, but her songs are not good.
Okay. Her songs are good. Yeah.
They're not good. They're just standard country crap. That's what they are.
Nope.
It could be the same song Reba sings or Melba, or any of the other names of those effed up country singers.
Give me a little sample.
Let's move on.
Let's move on,
yeah,
shall we?
Keep going.
Kid Rock is launching his own line of beer. It's called Badass Beer.
Wow.
Is it just PBR in a different can?
It's just him loaded, whizzing into a can and chilling it, I think.
Come on.
Badass beer. See, it's badass because he's Kid Rock. And he wears hats and has long hair.
He does wear
hats. Wears wife beaters. He's a badass.
Yeah.
We were smoking different things and we were saying funny things. He rhymes things and things in a song. He's badass.
That happened.
It's an exact rhyme, though.
He is badass, and his beer is called Badass Beer.
Okay.
They should call it Badass Draft. So we just called Bad for short. F you. That's all I gotta say, him and his beer. It's like people in clothing lines. No. We don't need any more. Don't need any more beer. Got lots of beer. Plenty of choices. I go to a liquor store, I'm there for 20 minutes trying to decide what beer to get. And we got enough beer.
If anything, less.
Got enough beer, got enough clothing. No more celebrity clothing lines, no more celebrity beers.
Okay.
New rules. With apologies to Mr. Marr. Today's celebrity birthdays, musician Brian Eno is 61 years old today. Chaz Palminteri is 57. Sam Dremel from True Blood turns 38 years old today. David Krumholtz.
What's happening to you?
Jesus. Dove Krumholtz would be a cool name, though. I might change my name to Dove Krumholtz. David Krumholtz from Numbers is 31, and Jamie Lynn Sigler from The Sopranos celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, Brian Posehn joins us. Of course, he is one of the comedians of comedy. He is on the Sarah Silverman Show. Very, very funny man, appearing at the Improv in Irvine, I want to say. You're going to be there starting last night through Sunday night at the Irvine Spectrum. Hey, Brian, how are you, man?
I'm all right.
Plenty of tickets for last night available, so if you'd like to go last night.
You should go last night. It was great.
Was it good?
Yeah.
It was good.
Good time.
I mentioned the Sarah Silverman Show. That's one of the shows that we talk about on our program, on the Kevin Beach Show, from time to time, that does not get the – it's under the radar still, and it's been so funny. I don't know why more people aren't talking about how funny that is.
Yeah, I don't know either. We've won awards like we won Logo had an award and was the best show you're not watching.
Mm-hmm.
And we won it, and people are still not watching.
That show is great.
We almost didn't come back.
Oh, really? They almost didn't.
Is that true?
Pick it up?
Yeah, yeah.
When is the next season?
We start working. Right now, we're working on drafts. We're writing scripts right now. I'm part of that process, too. And then okay. we start shooting in July.
You've done three seasons?
This is our third season right now. Yeah.
So. And I think for folks who don't watch the show, they would be surprised how far out some of the storylines are. I mean, it's a very wacky show.
A lot like South Park, they let us do, Comedy Central lets us do whatever we want. So that's what's great about being there is, you know, we can, the freedom.
Right.
The bad thing is nobody knows it. But.
That's why they let you be so free.
right.
Well, we're trying to get the word out. It doesn't seem to be helping much, but the Sarah Silverman show is brilliant and super funny and way out, like Bean says. It's just, I wouldn't try half the stuff that you try and pull off.
Oh, thanks. And I have a lot of fun working there. We just laugh constantly. So.
And Sarah's so hot, too, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's something very disarming about a woman who's that pretty, who's also very funny. It kind of, it really kind of disorients you a little bit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you want to discount her because she's hot or something, Bean? Or?
No, because you want to bang her, but you know that she's smarter than you are. And it's intimidating.
Funnier than you are.
Exactly. Yeah.
I hear you.
So how much stand-up? I know you've been doing stand-up forever and ever, Brian. How much do you do in town? Is this a rare treat to have a chance to see you locally?
Yeah, it actually is, and I'm about to go off the road. We're 3 weeks away from having a baby, so this is my last stand-up gig that my wife
ever.
Let me take.
Yeah.
And as soon as the baby comes, I'm going to go back on the road.
Yeah. For like a year.
No, until he's 18.
That seems like a long road trip.
Yeah. There's enough cities I haven't played. So.
Now, was this a situation where you and your wife wanted to have a kid, or did your wife want to have a kid and you're scared, or where were you with that whole thing?
It's the situation where I never, ever, ever wanted a kid, and then just eventually I came around to the
up.
Idea. Yeah. We've
it
been
broke.
Together forever, and she really, really wanted one, and yeah, so you're right. I eventually came around.
All right.
But are you a little bit worried, I don't mean this in an insensitive way, about your genes being passed down to the next generation?
Of course.
Is that what the world needs, Brian?
No more nerds. We don't need any more. But no, I think he's going to go the other way. He's going to be a jock that hates me and thinks I'm not funny.
Oh, that would suck if it's dad and he hates you.
Yes.
Oh, that'd be rough.
So really do you, cool.
Is he going to be born with a beard?
Sure, I hope. And a vision problem. And a beer gut.
Do you anticipate lots of baby comedy? Is that at some point going to cross your mind? Hey, look at all this new material I'm getting now.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about that because I've even talked about that on stage, that I hate when comedians lose their edge because they have a baby. You know, it'll be like the edgiest guy, you know, like a Bill Hicks type or whatever, and then suddenly he has a baby, and he's like, I look into my baby's eyes, and I see how precious life is, and I don't ever want to be that guy.
Well, you're going
to
be.
I've even told my fans that if I do that, you have my permission to punch my baby.
Wow!
Yeah. And that'll give me my edge back.
That's an extraordinary step.
That is better than a money-back guarantee.
I thought you were going to say punch you, but
no,
you're
see
saying,
where I went?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I twisted it on
yes,
you.
Yes, you did.
Brian is at the Irvine Improv. He started last night. It may be too late for that show, but hey, the weekend is ahead. There's a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday. The Irvine Spectrum, improv.com. Call 949-854-5455. We have to take a quick break. We've been running very late today, Brian. We're fighting our way back to try to get on time. So forgive us. A quick break, and we'll come back with more with our guest right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian, actor Brian Posehn in the studio with us on The Kevin and Bean Show this morning, appearing at the Irvine Improv tonight, Saturday night, Sunday night. Go to improv.com if you want to get those tickets. You know, Brian, one of the things that people always mention about you in articles is that you're a big-time heavy metal fan. You love the rock and roll music. Is that true?
Yes, okay. It is very true.
And have you, I understand this is part of your act, but you have taken it upon yourself to decide who gets to be metal and who isn't, who claims to be metal but is not, right? You're the arbiter of metal.
I don't know. No, I don't really do that in my act, but I do that in my day-to-day life.
He does that in real life.
Yeah.
I am fascinated by this because, you know, there are lots of people have bands that they love and other bands that just rub them the wrong way and they don't believe in what they're doing. What's the criteria for you on who gets to be metal?
It's just it's a thing. If it feels real, if it feels like the band was a ska band 6 months ago and then they changed,
right?
Then I have a real, you know, I can detect that pretty easily.
Okay,
and just any band that, you know, is jumping bandwagons and because metal's coming back, I just bums me out. I don't want any part of it. You know, it's false metal to me.
Who
and it's favorites? Really sad that I'm in my 40s and I'm still mad about heavy metal. Like you I'm standing like on my bike and I'm 15. And
you do seem like you ought to be in your dorm furiously typing a blog right now.
No, for sure.
About some lame ass.
No, I'm very aware of that. When I start to rant, I'm like, oh, God, listen to
me.
Listen to Grandpa.
Yeah,
Who's the real deal for you, like the ultimate, like most metal, would you imagine, at the top of the list?
Slayer's most metal.
Slayer
doesn't
okay.
get any more metal than Slayer.
Just, and what is it that they do that makes them, that earns them the crown?
Metal.
It's everything about them. It's their attitude. It's their sound. It's their lyrical content. It's their energy. It's their fans. They have the scariest fans in metal. Like
they do.
You do not want to cross them.
They really do. They are quite
Isn't
a group.
Isn't that yeah. who you guys went yep. to the parking lot to right? interview some of the Slayer fans?
We went to the Slayer show in Irvine. Uh-huh. And we were interviewing people in the parking lot. And
were you scared?
They're pretty angry, right?
A, yes, I was scared. But B, they're awesome, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're the best.
Probably some great quotes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they love that band.
This guy.
Yeah! F*** everybody! F*** you! Eat suck your mom! Die, die, die! F*** your mom! Die, die, die! Come on! Die, die, die! Come on! Yeah!
That's where that came from.
It's just refreshing the passion that young man has for life and music.
And his mom. Yeah. Or your mom.
Yeah.
Was that ever you, Brian? Were you ever that guy in the parking lot?
No, I was the guy standing next to him laughing.
Yeah. Right.
I've always had a sense of humor about metal that a lot of metal fans don't have. And that's gotten me into trouble over the years, you know, of guys just... people are so serious about heavy metal.
Right.
And I have a joke where I talk about Slayer and people come up to me and go, dude, how do you do that? You can't do that, man. You can't throw Slayer under the bus.
You can't make jokes about it?
No, you can't, apparently, but I don't care.
Where are you on Metallica? Are they too pop and do too many ballads to
no,
still be legitimately metal or no?
I still love them, but I know people that don't, you know. I
That's
get,
what I was wondering if
yeah,
they've...
Yeah, I get that thing of, you know, turning on them, but I think their last record's terrific, so...
Yeah.
They made like three bad ones that I didn't love, but you know, this new one is really great.
Right. And you were in an Anthrax video. I know they're one of your favorites.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'm working with Scott Ian right now. We're writing some more music. I did a song with him, Metal by Numbers, a couple of years ago, and we're doing a song right now called More Metal Than You. And it's just that whole thing of, you know, metal is kind of this competition. Like when you meet other metalheads, they're all constantly trying to out-metal each other.
Right. But at some point it does become, I mean, if you really try hard to out-metal, you're going to turn into Spinal Tap, right?
I mean, no, eventually I know. That's what I'm pointing out. I think,
the fine
you know,
line
I see
there,
the humor
right?
in it, but a lot of people don't.
You've seen the Anvil movie, I take it.
Loved it. Yeah, yeah.
Mike won't stop. He's seen it twice already. He won't stop talking about it.
It's
the greatest
terrific.
Movie he ever saw.
Yeah, I worry about people seeing it that don't love metal and thinking these guys are just a joke. But I love, you know, how passionate they are, and it's just a great movie.
And
it
this
reminds
is,
me of American movie.
Give people that don't know what this is a quick recap.
Well, they're a Canadian band that came out, and they kind of had this sound right before thrash metal came out, and they just never really caught on here. I remember I was aware of them and you know, bought a record or two, but they just never blew up like they were supposed to.
But they also
and
never
still
stopped,
holding
right?
on to it. They're in their 50s now.
Never made it, never stopped.
And they are so metal.
Would you say they're the most metal?
No.
Still Slayer.
Still Slayer.
All right.
Do you play guitar?
No, I can't play anything. Can't even play Guitar Hero. I try.
Because I would think a guy like you that loves it so, I would think that you would take whatever time you had and just you'd learn it because you have to.
Yeah, I was always the guy that was just obsessed about it and obsessed about knowing everything about it, but couldn't play. Like, I tried playing drums when I was a kid, and I couldn't play like Dave Lombardo from Slayer, so I gave up.
That was it.
You set the bar,
seriously.
But you set the bar pretty high.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I gave it about 6 months, and it just wasn't coming.
Well, you tried.
You gave it a good go.
Yeah.
Can you sing? Do you do that?
I can sing metal style. I can do the Cookie Monster thing. You know,
okay.
You can do goat horror. That's about the extent of it, right?
Oh, goat horror. Nice reference.
That's one of our go-to metal bands is goat horror.
Perfect metal name.
Well, that is very that's very interesting. So you'll be talking about this and talking about what else at the Improv this weekend when people go see you.
Oh, I talk about being married, about being a 30. You know, I'm 30-12 now, and just how immature I am. Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna do that.
I like that.
And but, about how I still play video games, you know, at my age, and like my mom, I still for Christmas. people in my family always know what to buy me. It's to buy me video games or buy me whatever metal DVDs are out. And my mom recently said, hey, am I still going to be buying you video games when you're 60? And I was like, no, you'll be dead.
The Irvine Improv is a great room at the Irvine Spectrum. Everyone who comes on our show, by the way, that plays down there says they love it. Apparently, it's just, it draws a great crowd, too.
Had a great time last night.
Improv.com, called 949-854-5455. That's the number. Improv.com, probably easier to remember. BrianPosen.com is Brian's website. Brian, so glad we had you in, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you, man.
Friday morning, Ralph's got the movie beat coming up in just a few minutes. The big show is tomorrow. By now, you know, the Weenie Rose de Fiesta 2009 with, well, just everybody you'd want to see. And you're running out of time to get your tickets. Your last chance to win them is going to be this afternoon between 5 and 6. But we've got a pair right now that you can earn at 1-800-520-1067. Let's play Speedy Weenie.
You love the most from the bands on Weenie Road. We spin them up, we tune them down to give them a more hardcore sound. It's the game called Speedy Weenie. What the f*** rhymes with Weenie?
That's a good question.
Our friend Brian Posen left a little bit too early. I think he would have enjoyed this game. All right. Dick Whiskey has gone into the studio and recorded Weenie Roast songs. Songs that will be played on stage tomorrow, but he's done them his way. And all you have to do is identify by title and artist what the song and the band are. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we take them in order, and we'll start with Cynthia on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Cynthia. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. All right. You ready for your Speedy Weenie song? This is just his version of a song that you know.
Okay, go for it.
All right, song title and band. Here we go. That was not good.
What? Oh, my goodness.
And by not good, I mean great. What was that?
I suck.
Oh, come on.
That was an easy one.
That was this.
Time Bomb by Rancid is what he was doing there.
Yeah.
Better version.
Not really, actually.
A better version.
Angie joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Angie, how did you do with that one, listening on the phone? Would you have gotten that if that were yours?
I did know it was Time Bomb, actually. All right. I hope I get mine.
Here's your Speedy Weenie.
Wow. Ange, what do you think?
Sounds awesome.
Oh, man. I know it's Weezer.
It is Weezer.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And the name of it is? The title of the song
is
Pork and Beans. Sorry.
Everyone likes to dance to a happy song.
Boy, he sure doesn't know how to sing, huh? I mean, our Dick Whiskey, he really rocked that one.
Absolutely.
All Angie right. is taking her own life now, hearing that song. Of course, it's Pork and Beans. Now she knows it, but yeah. It's tough sometimes when you're the contestant.
All right, let's go to Robert. Hey, Robert.
Hey, what's up?
You ready for your Speedy Weenie?
Yeah.
Here you go.
A real treat for our new listeners in Idaho. I'm sure they're enjoying this one this morning.
And by the way, that's the whole song, too, which is
really?
Odd. Squeezed it all in there.
Wow.
That's how speedy that is.
What do you think, Bob?
I honestly, is there any way I can hear that again?
No.
Not a chance. No, we wouldn't do that to you or to the listeners. That was Asher Roth doing his catchy hit, I Love College.
That party last night was awfully crazy. I wish we taped it.
All right.
We are dangerously close to getting into sudden death here because so far, three contestants, three big losers, right?
Let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt. Matt.
Hi, guys. Good morning, Lisa, Matt.
Good morning, Matt.
All right, you ready for your Speedy Weenie?
Ready.
Come on. Come through for us now.
We may have to get Dick Whiskey on the side stage. That's all there is to it.
Rock and roll!
I'm just going to take a guess and say Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire.
The beginning guitar was that exact riff. Come on.
Yeah, it definitely sounded like Silverson pickups. That's who it was doing Panic Switch. All right. Sudden Death, you guys. If we get a winner, if somebody wins, they don't go into a drawing. They actually win the tickets. Will it be Kyle on line 5? Let's find out. Hey, Kyle, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What?
You ready?
I am. I think so.
We're in Sudden Death, so if you get this, you win the tickets. Here we go. Tell you, Dick has never sounded better.
Those voice lessons are paying off.
All right, I got the first three. I'm going to guess Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire.
There it is.
Yeah!
Nicely done.
Well, you will see that Dick Whiskey song done in a little different way by the band Kings of Leon tomorrow on stage at the Weenie Rose. Congratulations, Kyle. Thanks a lot for listening to Kevin and Bean.
Thanks a lot.
I am in no way trying to push through the weekend. I'm glad the weekend is here. But looking ahead to Monday, we have a Weenie Roast recap for you. Also, Blink-182 will be here. They just played their first show together in 4 years last night, guys, and are getting ready to go out on a big tour. So it's going to be very exciting to catch up with those guys. And Linkin Park stops by on Monday with a brand new song from Transformers 2 soundtrack. How's that sound?
Pretty cool.
Yep.
Right now it's 8:55, and it is time for the Ralph Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Well, we got quite a list of movies opening up this weekend. Let's take a look at a couple of them. The Brothers Bloom opens in limited edition. This has got a couple Oscar winners in it. It looks like a very funny comedy about a pair of veteran con men who are brothers, Adrian Brody and Mark Ruffalo, who target as their last potential con a very wealthy yet strange woman played by Rachel Weisz.
Rachel Weisz.
Oh, I saw a clip on this. Yeah, it does look good.
Yeah, Rachel Weisz.
hey, Ralph.
What?
We're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Here's a scene from Brothers Bloom. This is Rachel Weisz telling Adrian Brody, who she doesn't know at the time is a con man, about her unique childhood.
When I was 5, I got really bad rashes and allergies and hay fever. So my mom took me to the doctor, and he did that test. I was allergic to everything. And I spent the rest of my childhood and adolescence indoors, alone, lonely.
No.
It wasn't until I was 19 they discovered what I was actually allergic to was the aluminum alloy the hypodermic needles were made out of.
Allergic to the needles.
That's funny.
That's funny. I'm telling you.
I know.
Look at me.
That's science.
I'm telling you that's funny.
I'm looking at you. That is funny.
All right. Also opening this weekend, Management, starring Steve Zahn. And Jennifer Aniston and Woody Harrelson. Jennifer Aniston plays a traveling saleswoman who makes the lucky or unlucky choice to stay at a hotel that's managed by Steve Zahn, where he promptly falls in love with her deeply and forever. And she has to spend the rest of the movie trying to shake him loose, basically. But he won't be shaken.
That's
because
correct.
He's truly in love with her. Here's a scene where Steve is telling Jennifer Aniston what a great butt she has.
You have a great butt. I noticed the moment you checked in.
Thank you.
Hope that isn't too, you know.
No. I mean, yeah, but do you do this a lot, Mike?
Very rarely.
Does it ever work?
Never.
What would constitute having it work? Us having sex?
No, I don't.
You getting to touch my butt?
That would, yeah, I'd consider that. For the constitution.
Come on. Remember when we had him in, Ralph? That was fun.
Come on with Steve Zahn.
Yeah, he's the best. She, by the way, pulls that off well, too.
She's adorable. He's adorable. Everybody's adorable. Management. And Tom Hanks, not as adorable, but a pretty good actor in his own right, stars in Angels and Demons this weekend, the sequel to the very popular movie, The Da Vinci Code. By the way, I know when I say sequel that, yes, in the books, I know Angels and Demons was a prequel. It came before The Da Vinci Code, but I believe they're treating this film as if the events happen after The Da Vinci Code.
Right.
So get off my ass, people.
Yeah.
In this scene, Robert Langdon, of course, Tom Hanks, is being taught by Vittoria Vetra, a beautiful Italian scientist, played by Isla Durr, The danger of the threat against the Vatican, along with a bishop played by the brilliant, always brilliant, Stellan Skarsgård.
We need to locate it immediately or evacuate Vatican City.
I'm quite familiar with incendiaries, Miss Vetra. I've never heard of antimatter being used as such.
Well, it's never been generated in significant quantities before. The antimatter is suspended there. But if it were to fall out of suspension and come in contact with matter, say the bottom of the canister, then the two opposing forces would annihilate one another violently.
How violent?
A cataclysmic event. A blinding explosion equivalent to about 5 kilotons.
Vatican City will be consumed by light.
Matter and antimatter. There's a new bomb for you. How do you like that, Vatican City? Not so much now.
I don't think they do.
Yeah, where's your Jesus now? Where's your God now? No, nowhere to be found. Well, you got the Tom Hanks. The only one that's going to save your ass. So you can check that out this week. And a lot of good movies, but I think Management is going to be my choice because, you know, Steve Zahn.
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I like him. I enjoy his work.
I had
work.
Not heard that.
He was in, and you didn't really mention that.
No.
Yeah, I know. I should have brought it
he
up.
He mentioned it a lot.
I should have brought it up when I had the chance.
A little embarrassing, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it was for all of us.
Yeah.
I'd take that back if I had the chance. Hey. No seals. No performing seals.
All right.
That's all I ask. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Unit 5, Mike Tyson. How about that?
It's going to be ridiculous. It'll be insane. All the talking you'll be doing with him about the boxing and tigers and tattoos on my face.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Ludicrous that would have happened.
Pass it over to me.
This should not happen in America.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Mmm, delicious.
Roll another one.
I'm very black.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Man can't.
And I need another hit.
Cat Corbett up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock and more tickets for you to join us at the K-Rock Weenie Rings. Don't forget, last chance to win tickets. Kevin Bean's Cinco de la Tarde this afternoon between 5 and 6 will be blowing out a ticket a minute.
Roll. Just like the other one.
I don't want to have said that.
This one seems to be about. I don't have another cent.
That part of making up is
for
two girls and one cup.
This should not happen in America.
Just pass it around. But don't bother that joint, my friend.
She can suck it.
But just pass it on down.
Pass it on.
That's not the way this record is supposed to end.
The tribe has spoken.
You have continued to be there for us for so many years, and you're always filled with enthusiasm and affection. Believe me, we feel the same way about all of you. Thanks for everything, and bye for now.
Everybody still awake? All right, big finish.
This was exhausting. This whole experience was absolutely exhausting. You are absolutely the most insufferable group of jackasses I have ever had the misfortune of spending an extended period of time with. I hope you all die.
Don't forget, say hello to Jane Biondi.
And is this true? We got Mike Tyson on the phone? What?
Brownville section of Brooklyn. If anyone's familiar with that neighborhood, it was just killed or be killed. I can remember going to school and being bullied and people taking my glasses. And I think that's why people like myself become more assertive in life and become more aggressive. People have a misconception that I'm something else, but I'm just afraid of being that way again. I just was afraid. I was so scared of my first amateur fight. I went downstairs and said, I'm going to go to the store. It was in the Bronx, New York. I said, I'm going to the store to my trainer. And I went downstairs and I said, man, I should get on this training. It's never come back. I wanted to get on the training and just leave. I was so scared. I didn't want to fight anybody.
It's all over. We've got a brand new heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson, who can reign for a long, long time.
Iron Mike, as you have never seen it before, in a brand new documentary in theaters all over town called Tyson. And we welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show director James Toback on the phone and Mike Tyson himself. Hey, guys, how are you today?
Hey, what's up, Kevin Bean?
How you doing?
Thanks for joining us. We're very, very jacked about this movie. We're psyched to have you guys on. James, I know you've known Mike for a long, long time. Why'd you decide to make this movie, and why now?
I think there's no more riveting, mesmerizing talker about his own life, particularly an iconic figure who's probably one of the 5 or 10 most famous people on Earth and who's had the most fascinating life imaginable, packed into 42 years. And why now? Because I don't know, after 7 years of talking about it, Mike had landed in a rehab and seemed to be in a reflective, meditative, self-analytical state, which was ideal. And my mother had died, and I found myself doing a lot of crazy stuff, and I thought I'd better get started on a movie immediately, so it seemed like the right moment.
Now, right. And you made the decision that most of the movie is Mike talking about Mike, and yet it's so fascinating. Did you worry about that part of it?
No, I thought, why listen to a lot of secondhand gossip, which has already been rehashed 50 times over the years from a lot of people who are about 1/50th as interesting to listen to as Mike is. And it's a very kind of startling, original presentation. People haven't seen this or heard this before.
I agree. It is definitely a very different look to a documentary. Mike, it must have been difficult for you to relive some of the painful chapters in your life. Did you find it hard to sit and rehash that, or is there a lot of stuff you'd rather have forgotten about?
Yeah, it was pretty ugly, but it's just something that we both made a commitment to do, and despite the difficultness, it was just something that had to be done.
Did it seem like a bad idea to be that honest with everybody?
At the time, it was when we were filming it, but watching it on television, I thought it was pretty riveting and should have been put under a little bit of wraps. I was a little embarrassed.
Boxing has changed so much since you retired, Mike, that it was so fun to go back and see some of those early fights, you know, your first 20 fights or something like that, where you were so unbelievably dominating. I don't think anybody has come along since then that can pack a punch like you do. Do you have vivid memories of that time, or is that early period of your boxing career kind of a blur for you at this point?
It's kind of a blur, but I remember my frame of mind during that time, which wasn't cool. Now, as I become older and I have children, I just received a brand new daughter. It's just that that frame of mind, just it wasn't healthy. You know, it was good for fighting, but it wasn't great for everyday life.
The movie is riveting. It's a documentary. We don't talk about them a lot on the Kevin and Bean Show, but you've never seen a subject more open or more honest with more revealing details about a life that you thought you knew than you do in this film. It is called Tyson, and it is playing in a bunch of theaters in Southern California. And I know you're getting a tremendous response to it, and you must be so proud of Mike for all that he did for you for this movie, I would imagine, James.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I mean, for a controversial figure, the reviews we've been getting, if you look on Rotten Tomatoes, the website on reviews, it's like the best-reviewed movie out there, and audiences have been moved. It's been a spectacular experience, and given, you know, this relationship I've had with Mike over 24 years, it's a great thing, I think, for both of us to have something to leave behind, so that 200 years after we're both dead, things will still be resonating.
All right. James Toback is the director of the film. It is called Tyson. Mike, of course, is Iron Mike, and he is the subject of the film. Great for both of you guys to join us. Good luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are giving,
hey!
We are
giving away
Ticket a Minute.
Go ahead, there's one now.
For the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2009, which, of course, is tomorrow. We're going to do that right through 6 o'clock.
1-800-520-1067 if you want to go. And, of course, if you're going to the show, you ought to go to krock.com for all the details on stuff you can bring, what time the doors open, which I think is noon, by the way, what time the set times are, all that good stuff. If you're not lucky enough to have tickets, you can, of course, watch the whole thing tomorrow, including
just
backstage interviews at krock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on in the showbiz world, dude?
Just Ticket a Minute, man.
Yeah, that's big news.
Hey, don't forget, while you're busy trying to get your Ticket a Minute, you can also get Coldplay for free today.
How do you do that?
You go to Coldplay.com, mm-hmm. and you can download their new live album.
No kidding.
Gratis.
Wow.
Sans cash for free for Bupkis.
They named it Gratis? Why?
No, it's just their new live album. You can download it right from their website. It's a little gift from them to you. The CD will also be handed out to all fans at every remaining Coldplay live show in 2009.
That's really great.
So that's very nice of them. It's a little gift from Coldplay to you, so please enjoy. Won't you? Paris Hilton may be the world's worst neighbor. Second time in a week, cops had to show up to ask her to stop partying. Apparently, this time, the first time was a party. This time, it was just a full-blown shouting fest argument going on at her home. Happened at 1 a.m. this morning. LAPD officers were called to the home of Paris's boyfriend, Doug Reinhardt. Paris apparently moved into his house on Monday.
And it's going well?
Yes. They had such a screaming argument, Lisa, that the neighbors couldn't sleep and called the cops.
And you know he's not living in a condo with people on either side.
Doesn't she have like a giant mansion? Why didn't he move in there?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
When the cops arrived, Paris and Doug wouldn't open the gate. So they had to hop the fence to get to the front door. Cops love that, by the way, when you don't let them in.
They do, right?
They get a big chuckle out of that. The door opened, the cops spoke with them, and apparently the loud arguing stopped. So we'll have to wait and see. The night Paris moved in on Monday, it was a ridiculously loud party. Neighbors complained to the cops. And the next morning, apparently six cars on the street were keyed by the angry neighbors, the people who had come to the party.
All right.
So it looks like good people who live there are going to have a good time with Paris in the neighborhood.
Kind of forgotten about Paris Hilton. Hadn't really thought of her name in the last couple months. I'm sad to see I have been reintroduced to her.
Wait till we crank up the new season of BFF.
Oh. Yes.
Is that coming back?
Yeah. She's looking for another BFF.
What happened to the other one?
Murdered.
I don't think so.
Murdered in her sleep.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, Paris stuffed one of her dogs in her mouth, suffocated her.
I don't think any part of that story is true.
No. Makes for a good story, though.
Yeah.
As does what happened to Shia LaBeouf in that crash last summer. You know, we've been getting bits and pieces about how he injured himself, and they said, well, his hand was really kind of, honked up, and doctors had to operate on it and stuff. But when you read the real story, Playboy Magazine's got an interview with Shia as we get ready for the onslaught that is Transformers 2, and it was much worse than anyone could possibly have imagined. The hand got jammed under the car, Shia says, and a piece of the finger came off.
Ow.
Oh.
Ow.
No.
So I just picked it up and showed it to the firemen.
Oh, hey, look at this. God. My finger.
Firemen were like, let's get this dude to a hospital.
Wow.
It turns out he has surgically implanted screws in the hand as well as a plate and a piece of his hip bone to reconstruct the hand.
Oh my God.
He's still scheduled for yet a third reconstructive surgery, and he will never again regain full dexterity in his left hand.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty...
Talk to the hand!
The reason he went back to work so quickly, by the way, he said, when I came out of surgery, the first voice I heard on the phone was Harrison's. Harrison Ford called him.
Oh, no kidding.
And said, how are you feeling? You okay? And he said, yeah, I'm good. And he goes, well, then you need to get back to work.
Nice.
I said, are you serious? And he goes, that's the way the cookie crumbles. In this business, the show doesn't stop for anybody. A lot of people sitting on their asses there waiting to make a movie. So this patched him up. Against doctor's orders, he went back to work.
Wow.
How about that?
Here's the thing.
Harrison is tough.
But here's the thing about Harrison Ford. He is tough. He's worked through fractures of his back and all kinds of illnesses and stuff. He's famous for like whatever it takes he gets through a movie shoot. But the thing is, on the set of the Transformers, Shia LaBeouf accidentally jabbed a jagged piece of metal through his eyelid.
What?
While filming, and they had to stitch up his eyelid, and the doctor said he was about a millimeter away from blindness.
What?
Was he making a movie, or was this a suicide attempt?
He said they had, like, a triage on the set for people, because so many people were getting hurt.
Awesome.
He had 27 stitches, said, all over his body that had nothing to do with his hand being injured. So
unbelievable.
Those Transformers were angry. And
they're
rough. Fighting.
Have you seen them? They're giant.
Don't have for the Decepticons.
They turn into trucks and stuff.
That's true.
He's lucky he got away with just that.
By the way, Linkin Park will be here on Monday afternoon's Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, bringing in their new song from the Transformers 2 movie soundtrack.
Here it is.
This is it.
I don't think that sounds like the Keyboard Cat. I think that's something else.
Yeah, that's not Linkin Park.
Linkin Park. I'm just playing you out.
They'll be bringing it in on Monday for you, though.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Musician Brian Eno is 61 years old today.
Eno, get him!
No, Eno. Brian Eno, not Emo. An N. He is 61 years old today. Chaz Palminteri is 57. Sam Drammel of True Blood is 38 years old. David Krumholtz, who plays the brother on Numbers, he is 31. And actress Jamie Lynn Sigler, who played Meadow Soprano on The Sopranos, is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.